on what these BRR reports are all about. And as I thought, it basically is just a repetition of what we did in June and so on, basically. So because we've spent so much time around those stuff already with the department, I've really just set one day aside for Department of Environment and one day for water. So today the whole day we'll do environment, tomorrow the whole day we'll do water, and then hopefully out of that we can draft whatever report has to be drafted. I'm not going to stretch this thing out further than that. Then, as I had the discussions with Minister, she's busy processing the white paper, as you know, through cabinet and so on, but also felt that we should do hearings. So what we'll do is next Tuesday we'll start, Tuesday and Wednesday next week, we'll set aside just for Minister. She'll come and just open the for an hour or two before she flies away. So please note that we'll have to start earlier on Tuesday next week at 9 o'clock, okay? Just so that she can take a flight. And then the rest of those 2 days we'll actually have for you to interrogate in detail the department on issues. There's one or two other things I thought of trying to see if we can add. I was wondering, where's Mr. Lukey and the DG? I was wondering whether you guys could check for us whether Treasury could just come and give us a briefing. We don't really want to do hearings about it, but on the carbon tax, so that we as a committee can at least understand what, you know, they did it separately. So the carbon tax we've always heard secondhand. So next Tuesday, Wednesday, see if anywhere we'll fit them in where they're available. See if they can't just come and give us a briefing on it so that we can get a good idea of what how the carbon tax are. I'm not sure how it works and so on. And then I thought if maybe try and get Mark Swilling again to just give us that whole scenario about resources and the availability of resources and how that impacts. That, you know, it's not even because of climate change, but just because we may use up resources that we have a developmental kind of deficit or may have a development. So I'm going to try and fit those in. It's all at short notice. But what my approach is to this, members, to the white paper hearings, is I'm very flexible on it. I mean, even we've not given people a lot of time to make submissions, for example. So I've said to Chileka that, look, just let people make a submission. And if they want to supplement it before they arrive here, that's fine, because we haven't given them much time. So we're going to be quite flexible on this. But basically, next Tuesday and Wednesday, then, those 2 days, we'll have a whole 2 days to go in detail into what are the changes to the white paper, where we see shortcomings, and so on, so on, so on. And then from the next Tuesday, if there are people already available, we'll start doing hearings and try and finish them as soon as we can. Of course, now we can only really sit in the mornings. Every afternoon, apparently, there's a plenary. So we're not going to have the luxury of being able to. So we'll have to do 3 or 4 submissions in the morning until we have finished with them, okay? I'm not sure how many they're going to be because it's all been on short notice and so on. But so we're going to be quite flexible about that whole approach. And then if there is still some space somewhere, DJ, and you can maybe listen to this, I am thinking of having a 1 or 2 days around rhino poaching. But I'm not wanting to do it in terms of, you know, long histories and so on. I'm really wanting to for people to come with solutions. What are possible solutions that there are? So if we can fit that in, if the white paper doesn't spill over too much, we'll try and prioritize because it is, you know, it's always been a burning issue, but it seems to be coming again a more and more of a burning issue. So if we can fit that in, we'll do it. And then, of course, in the last week, we'll try and get a progress report on acid mine drainings. Remember, we told them they must come towards the end of November. So those are more or less the 4 areas that I've set out for us for this term. Those other issues that are standing over, like EIAs and so on, we'll probably do those public hearings in January when we come back, try and see if we can fit in some public hearings there. There's a few issues that like that I would like to fit in for public hearings. But we will discuss that again. But it doesn't seem like we're going to be able to do it this term. So this term, really, this week we'll do the annual report, the BRR. Then from then on, the next week we'll do briefings on the white paper. And then the week after that we'll do public hearings, depending on how many submissions there are, see how far we go with that. Then if there is space, we'll do poaching, solutions to the poaching problems. And there's been some very interesting things I've heard getting involved and talking to some of these conservation people. Some are very, very radical in terms of, you know, and so on. So it'll be good that we do that. And then, of course, the acid mine drainage. And then we'll see if we can. I mean, that is an enormous amount of work already for this term. The issue about that trip to America, we're just not getting any answers. But I've already decided that I won't be able to go clearly with these public hearings. So if we do get some states get that they agree to it, then we may just send one or two people, but the rest of us will carry the fort here with public hearings. I think those are all the issues. We did attend the waste conference, which I thought was very good, and it's something we should build on. I've already committed us to make waste a permanent item on our agenda. So from next year, we'll be putting waste as a permanent item, because it's not just a departmental issue. It goes much wider, as you know, mainly into local government. So we'll have to find a format on how we will do it. But waste is going to become a permanent item on the agenda, that we can make sure that at least once a year we thoroughly go into it. And then, of course, there is a bill, the NEMA Amendment Bill, and I think there's one on weather as well, weather services. There are two bills in cabinet, so clearly those two bills will have to process the beginning of next year, January. Really? I've definitely not seen it. Have you seen the weather services at all? Okay. But what we'll do there, we'll take thorough submissions, give a good time for people to make submissions, whatever they hear, and then we'll program our things that we can prioritize. Obviously, bills we try and prioritize and make sure we finish them. We'll probably do that, the hearings and so on, probably in January, and then try and get those to process. All right, so those are issues. Anyone want to raise anything around, for those of you that came a bit late, people and so on, let me just quickly say, this week, just so if you know the program, Nanawa Pitla is doing other stuff. He's, you know, he's got a huge constituency as a horse. You have to go wide and whoop as well. So he's got a lot of things on his plate. So this week we do the BRR, today environment, tomorrow water. Next Tuesday and Wednesday we do the white paper briefings. The department will come. Minister will open it. So we'll start 9 o'clock next Tuesday, please. So Minister has to fly out. And then the week after, if there are submissions, we'll start doing hearings until they finish. And then if we can fit in poaching somewhere, we'll do that. And then the last day of term, we'll get a progress report on acid mine drainage. That trip to America, we still haven't received answers from the Speaker and the Chief Whip's offices. We at least hassle them once a day. But there's been no response. So, but in any case, as I've said there, I've obviously with our program, there's no way that I can be away from Parliament. So we'll have to relook that delegation. All right, so those are the issues. Anyone want to raise anything around the program before we start? Everyone happy with that? Okay, so we'll fit it in. And as I said, we'll be flexible about the public hearings. If people want to give late submissions, that's all fine. We've hardly given them any time to do it. All right, so today we are very fortunate. We have the DG here. Nice to see her face again. Such a pretty face. Long time no see. I wasn't sure who you were when I saw you for the first time. didn't bump into you at the airport the other day while you were flying out the country, I wouldn't have known it was you. Miss McCourt has apologized. She's not here. She's doing other things. And also the AG's office, as usual, very diligent. Is the Treasury here? Treasury can't come. So they think they've got something more important than Parliament. Yeah, well, tell them I look askance at them. All right, DG, you did give us your submission, your paper. Sorry, just before we start, I have the Mr. Frulich's office gave us this guide for compilation of the budgetary review and record. So have a look through this and you'll know what it is we have to do. It's a guide that they explain what they expect from this process. I'm very much looking at last year's report and actually trying to see how much we can just use of that and see. Obviously, this is the potential of this is big because obviously we now as Parliament do have the right to make or propose amendments to the budget. So, you know, obviously if there's something that we all feel very strongly that the department either hasn't got a budget for, which they should have a budget for, then clearly we can suggest that, but that doesn't go far. Or if we feel that there are certain things in the department's budget that they're prioritizing and we think they're prioritizing it wrongly, we can of course say that we think that's not so. But obviously, for that, you need to also remember all the hearings we did earlier in the year. Because, you know, obviously all those things apply. So, let's see how we'll be flexible. Let's see how the today goes and how we take this. DG, welcome to you and your team. You can start this document. And then this is the annual report. Have you got that? Annual report in this document. And then the guide. Okay. Everyone happy? Can we start?
Yeah.
Lovely. DG, over to you.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. I just wanted to check whether you want us to start with the financials or...
I think that's the best. Let's prioritize financials.
And then follow with
yeah.
the performance.
With other things.
And the AG probably after.
You can say something on financial.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right then. So I think let me just indicate, Chair, then that as you correctly indicated that you received the tabled annual report which we submitted in terms of Section 40 of the Public Finance Management Act and Treasury Regulations, paragraph 18. I'm going to hand over to the CFO then to take you through the financials and Zinpo Makotoko also will just take you through the performance because we're running the performance management function of the department. If you are happy with that. So let me hand over to the able Chief Financial Officer of the department, Ms. Okanaka. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, DG. Basically, I'm just giving a brief outline of the annual report or the annual financial statements. We're looking at the Auditor General's opinion, budget and expenditure for 2010-11, the main adjustments that we did to the budget, main reprioritizations that we normally do annually, and then we look at the trends of compensation of employees in relation to operational expenditure. And then we look at the details, which we have tried to put attachments of detailed expenditure accommodation. And then we look at our transfers to public entities, the PWP project, as well as, you know, like non-other profit institutions, you know, capital expenditure, and then just an outline of our foreign assistance. Short briefing on challenges.
You haven't got there what we asking extra this year. Have you got it there? There's a budget process going on now.
Yes.
So if there are any if it's just the usual adding, then don't worry. But if there are one or two areas that are new where you're asking funding, maybe you should just highlight that to us. We, of course, understand that Treasury can still say no. But it's important if we have to give some input that we at least know what it is extra than your budget. Okay, so you can put it in at the end, it's fine.
Yes, okay. I think we've got some. Okay.
Just the new extra stuff, not the usual budget. It's what you're asking. Say you're asking now, you want to buy a new vessel for Agalas, so you're adding that, and you want to give more money to the public works to create more jobs. Just those kind of stuff where you're putting extra things that you're asking Treasury. Just that we're aware what it is. But we understand that Treasury can still say no.
Okay, that's the NTF submission, Chair, just to be sure. Whether you're talking about the current adjustments this year on rollover, or you're talking about...
I'm not worried about rollover.
Yes, okay.
It's for the next year
NTF.
One. What extra... Okay. We know what your budget is already, more or less, because we've gone through it. Now, if we want to make any assessments of whether we should support you for new money or so on, I mean, we need to know what it is. Okay? All right.
And an outline of the Auditor General report. The department did get an unqualified audit, and in the preparation of this report, the Auditor General was still busy with auditing the donor funding, and were almost, you know, to finalizing it on September, October. There were no major there was no unauthorized and irregular expenditure, and we complied with all the disclosures that the Auditor General required, and where we needed to adjust the AFS as we did, and we complied with all the requirements with regard to transfer to our agencies and other organizations. We've also submitted an action plan for all other, you know, matters raised by the Auditor General to implement in the current year. If we look at the budget of the department in expenditure, we've spent 96% of our budget. But basically, it is 100% across all other lines, except for the monies that we had to roll over. That is on program 2, obviously, WISA, IPEC, and capital amounts for air quality monitoring stations that we didn't spend in the previous year, we rolled it over. And on item 4, which is program 4 on climate change, the 86% is because of, you know, like the payment for the polar vessel that we're building. We did there was a saving based on the exchange rate. We budgeted high.
Was there a saving there?
Yeah.
On the boat?
Yes, on the boat.
You can give it to us?
Yes.
We'll spend it for you. I know Ms. Mukanya, has got her eye on some spending, but...
Yes, but all those monies that we save, we pay them over to National Treasure.
Oh,
and roll them over for the
That's
current.
That's a disaster. You'll never see it again.
When we look at the expenditure trends of the department, we are still maintaining the same trend of about 99.8%. Here we're just, you know, like analyzing the rollovers that we've actually, you know, like paid back to National Treasury. In the 17 million included in there is the 11.5 million for Buisa IPEC that we paid back, and about 6 million for air quality monitoring stations that we also, you know, like are going to roll over. And then that is the best service. We saved about 80 million on exchange rate, and we asked for rollover for that because we're only completing the vessel round about March, April next year. And then on sector services, that is for our external public works project, that is the money that we're not supposed to use for the incentives we have to pay back to National Treasury. On economic classification, looking at our compensation of employees, we've finished all the budget there. Expenditure. Transferred to public entities. Transferred all the money. Okay. And then again, on machinery equipment, the major part there is the vessel. And the slide number 8, that is all the funds that we've surrendered to National Treasury, which is 98 million. We look at the main adjustments that we did to the department. We transferred 71 million to DAFF for for the functions of fisheries vital transferring and also for compensation of employees 69.6 million. We also received back the money that was given to National Treasury as we split the department. It was about 10.6 million because we were sharing the building. So we called it back. And then we also received money for adjusting our compensation of employees, the increases from July for our level 4 to level 10. We also received 3 million from National Treasury for the agent for the SA balance. The main prioritizations that we've done to the department are the ones that we also do every year, more especially for property management, because we always have a shortfall of about 40 million. We received, you know, like requests from St. Patrick and Sandy for, you know, to fund their shortfalls. We gave 5 million to Sandy and 12 million to St. Patrick for the management of indigenous forests. And then we also increased our international membership fees by about 10 million. And the main events that we had last year that we funded, it was the green economy and human and environment. And we also increased, you know, the budget for that. In total, we reprioritized about 80 million, 79.9 million. We are looking at our baseline for compensation to goods and services. But as we reprioritize, we normally measure ourselves as to, you know, like, so that we don't have money, we should have enough money for operations. Last year, Treasury implemented, you know, like a cut across all departments for operations. So they cut us with 76 million from operation to fund compensation of employees. So we can be able to see the graph, you know, like almost tying up. But we are also monitoring in the outer years that our compensation is in line with, you know, like operational expenditure. So they got 26 million in the first year, and then I think it was about 80 in the following year, just to implement some efficiencies across the department to remove more money from operation. So for the time being, our compensation and operation expenses, I think it is more like maintaining the expected ratios. We've also made, you know, like provision in our compensation of employees in line with TPSA processes, 1.5% compensation of employees for provision for bonuses.
Bonuses? Didn't we say that we were going to receive a report on bonuses and we're still waiting for it? And now it's still in the budget again? No, because I would hate to put in this report that we totally oppose the bonuses. So I hope that you've got today available to come and give us that report on bonuses and to, for us to be able to look at that. Otherwise, you're going to get a big negative from me.
No, we can't put that lecture.
We've been waiting for a whole year, you know.
No, we only finished. It depends on when we get the approval for to repay. So the minister,
yeah, but didn't we agree that before there's any approvals, you come to us before then?
No, Galo Minister introduced the thing of her signing off on things that she sent. We had included it in that agenda and she withdrew it.
Oh, that's fine. But the point is, the minister can say that, and she's
but
a prerogative. But the point is, we wanted to give an opinion on it before it goes there. No use it once it's approved. Well, now we've got a dilemma. Do we now just be negative in this report and say we totally oppose the department doesn't deserve bonuses?
No, we're dealing with the one for next financial year. So it's not in this report now. So we present it to you, Chair.
I thought these are the reprioritizations you've done.
Yes, for the 1.5% is for the outer year. Remember, we're talking 2010.
Well, I tell you that this committee has not in any way gave a stamp of approval for bonuses yet. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, if you're not able to convince my change before the end of today, you may then get a negative report from us. Okay? Up to you. You can ignore us, it's fine, but you know, we just There are ways and means of dealing with people that ignore people.
And if we look at our detailed current expenditure, we try to actually look at, you know, like major increases. The second line under advertising, maybe the advertising increased because of, you know, like climate change built up for COP17 as well in November and December. We transferred about $8 million to GCIS for them to be able to do our environmental awareness campaign and also COP17 marketing strategies. Look at the major increase as well in those lines. We can see from 147 million to 185 million under consultants, contractors, and outsourced services. We've got, you know, like an annex chapter there where we've got details of where the increase is. The other big expenditure that we see in that line is an extra fee, which is about, you know, travel. There was also, you know, like slight, actually there is a decrease in travel current year, but we've got, you know, like a detailed annexure. If we look at other operating expenditure, mainly the big figure is air charter services for Program 3, which is oceans and coastal areas and helicopters. On office accommodation, I think I've also mentioned that most of the time we reprioritize. We haven't received, you know, like any adjustment for our office accommodation. So we basically, you know, like subsidize half of the amount that you pay for our accommodation. So you can also see the blue, which is our extra expenditure as opposed to the budget that we get from the Department of Public Works. The difference is always about 40 million. I think the bottom slide there explains how we've been prioritizing for the last 2 years, 32 million in 2019 and then 40 million in 2010. Here we are looking at our transfers to public entities. The transfers to public entities, seeing the SANParks mainly, as well as Isimangaliso, decreasing in the transfers that we've made. And it is because in 2009-10, for SANParks we transferred more because of the 2010 infrastructure development for the World Cup. And Isimangaliso, we also were working on, you know, like infrastructure. So we see the transfers decreasing for 2010-11. SANParks is decreasing with about 200 million, as well as Isimangaliso about 10 million. And the financial assistance that is mainly offered to those public entities for SANParks is our road infrastructure, parks, marine and protected areas, and then we're also funding the Nisner Forest, indigenous forest, and then the increase there was also the rhino reaction and protection funding. With South African weather.
Sorry, just go back to that other slide, please, or the colors. Just explain to me what is happening to SANParks. Are we decreasing the budget every year like that?
Yes. No, not every year. SANParks is the blue one.
Yeah.
Yes, and
starts right up there on at almost 450 million, yes. Then it's 350 million, it's now below 200 million.
Yes.
And so we've cut drastic like that in 3 years.
It was funding specific infrastructure development. So for the allocations were for those specific financially. So we're not necessarily cutting them. Like in the
increases were because of special
infrastructure.
Yes. So what it is now, the blue one as it is now, is that
the allocation?
The allocation I was going to be for without any extra stuff.
Yes, as well as Isimangaliso. You can see Isimangaliso.
And then the weather service is going up?
Yes, for their.
Sandby is staying the same, more or less, and Isimangaliso is going down.
Isimangaliso is going down. Again, there was infrastructure again in 2009-10.
Yeah, I think we might discuss that one later.
It's impacted more of the cut on infrastructure funding, and which also was over a certain period. So when that period comes to an end, I mean, now we're approaching the end of that NTF period, then you start seeing the drop. But also at the same time, we have been asked to do budget reprioritization and cuts by National Treasury because of the current fiscal environment. And SANPAC, there was, I think, some level of also misunderstanding of what surpluses were meant by what was appearing in their financial statements. They were seemingly having a surplus, but those were land acquisition allocations, because land acquisition, you have a whole process that has to unfold. So it's money that's been committed, but you are still running through a process of acquiring that land. So that part of the money also was then at some point then reduced by treasure. So we have made a submission, and in the current MTF submission, we've had a discussion with Treasury, and they are relooking at that. Hopefully they will be able to reprioritize funding in that area. Because for us to meet our targets on land under protection, and also making sure that we give effect to our expansion strategy, there are biomes that are underrepresented in our protection, in our protected area system, and we hope that we will be able then to get funding for that into the future. Similarly with Isimangaliso, there was an element where they were receiving infrastructure funding, and now we're putting forward again a proposal. They wanted to undertake the process of PPP, which was stalled because of other reasons which they can explain when they come forward to the committee. But in the main, for us to then reinvest, because we will have to put in a lot of money in terms of making sure that the PPP program for Isimangaliso takes off. So we are considering a further motivation on that, in that regard.
I'm glad to hear that, because you know, we went to Isimangaliso, and their whole development plan is really a wonderful one, and we should support it.
Mm.
We can't just wait for one day that there's more money. The problem is, you know, they're dealing with a lot of traditional areas there, and now that they've got agreement amongst people, we must actually tie those things up and build the infrastructure. Otherwise what happens, one person dies and now there's a new person, and then we have to start the processes over because we waited because we didn't have funding. So, I mean, I think when we were at Isimangaliso, we all felt that we want to strongly promote that the kind of development plans and things that they have in place going there, and we must try and support that. And if there's money needed to get those PPPs going, to get other infrastructure going, we should strike now while the iron's hot. I mean, you know, the feeling that some of us had is that Isimangaliso can become greater than Kruger Park. It has your sea, it has water, it has all those different diversities that Kruger doesn't have. And if you then have all the animals as well, plus those diversities, it can become one of the great places. But the problem is, if we're going to do it 10 rand this year, 10 rand next year, 10 rand, that's not going to work. We really have to invest money there. You have to get the processes that you get going there. I mean, the kind of processes that they had with that one tribal grouping that had their place in the land, those things cost money. Building those things cost money. Now, those groupings have bought into the process. So now we must do those things quickly. So if there's one thing I'm happy to do, depending on what the committee says, if there's one place that we can in this report support more money, is Isimangaliso. And the whatever monies you're asking for new conservation areas, those things I think we will support very strongly from this side. Because, you know, the problem is with those type of things, the longer you wait, the more problematic it becomes. Because more interest groups get involved. You know, if you want to start, and I think your people gave us an input that there are 3 or 4 new conservation areas we're trying to create, some of them being blocked by the Department of Mining. I think two of them, maybe. Two, three. You know, so those things, you know, we you'll find strong support here, much stronger than for bonuses, you'll find here. But people will ask you those questions when we get there. But this is why I'm looking at sand parks. And for me, I understand, of course, a lot of that is World Cup. But now, in fact, I would have wanted that to go that way. Because it's now the time to strike. Okay, but we'll get some questions there. Okay, let's go to the next.
For public works, you see the figures in the just the next few slides. Basically, this is the spread of our expanded public works project by province. I think the last graph, you know, it cuts something. It is working for Wetland, you know, the money that we basically give to Sandy. Because Sandy is not a province, so it didn't show, but it is working for Wetland.
This also we support, especially Marge Jane is very supportive of this. But here again, we'll support this because this creates jobs. When we were at Isi Smangalisa, we just looked at how important it is for those people to chop down. That's high labor intensive stuff, very vital because it creates more water and things. So this is another area. We're going to do public hearings sometime on this issue. But this is an issue that if there's expansion, we'll support expansion here.
The figures will be following. And then also, this is also by project. The other one was by province. And this one is, you know, like by which project? Then base, working for
me. This is okay. Wait, let me just look at that. Which is yellow is people and parks, training projects, working for coast.
Let me just explain to you, Chair and members, the programs, sustainable land base covers wetland rehabilitation, land rehabilitation or reclamation works, and including some of the invasive species control. And then the working on waste is more in the area of waste collection and cleaning, street cleaning, I think, and what else is eco towns? What do you call eco towns? I can't remember what they do, but they have a category there on eco towns. Working for the coast is more coastal dune rehabilitation in some areas, and just also part of the even boardwalks and some limited infrastructure along the coast, especially in the beach areas. As you recall, that this is a municipal function also. Beaches are supposed to be managed by municipalities, and they don't necessarily budget for that activity at all. Then people and parks is all the funds that we provide to provincial parks and also national parks, including Isimangaliso. So what you saw at Isimangaliso around the work on expanded public works is what we fund through the category on people and parks. And then training, because the expanded public works program is meant to take people that are more vulnerable but with the possibility of them being employable, then the training that is associated with that, and there's a certain number of training days that you have to invest with each month of work that people do. So that's what they are reflecting.
Our expanded public works programs, therefore, for the current year under review, was 460 million. The spread was explaining this. And if we can look at it, it is decreasing because of the other functions that we transferred to the Department of Tourism as well as to forestry and fisheries.
Why is there that huge decrease in waste, working on waste? See, the others are slightly, but the working for waste decreases almost by 100 million.
My recent check was trained, but just off the top of my head, again, the allocations are linked to
to what plans are ready in which municipalities and so on.
But
so
the thought working for waste is like
it will grow into the future. In our budget submission now to Treasury, we are motivating more allocation, but the problem is sustainability loss, because it in the plans that are provided as a business plan, you look at exactly what the money would have to do and what is the possibility of long-term sustainability. So
see, interestingly, waste decreased by 100 million, but people and parks increased by 100 million.
Because we are now trying to help more the conservation function because of the demand for making sure that most of the provincial protected areas are adequately fenced off. Because, I mean, when you talk enforcement, you also have to talk about waste, because there is basic fencing. Northwest Parks, for instance, most of their protected areas were not properly fenced, and some of the Northern Cape protected areas, which are quite important, though they are few and they are very far from one another, they did not have adequate infrastructure at all for conservation purposes. Because provinces are not adequately funded also for this function, they tend to then focus more on the human resource aspect, and it's better that they fund rangers and people that would then manage wildlife and so on within the protected areas, and us then with the grant from national, we then focus on the more the kind of infrastructure that they will then have to maintain. So for maintenance and sustainability purposes, so that's an area which is more possible to give us maintenance. But in terms of jobs, the jobs are limited because then those are areas that are not as labor intensive as compared to the sustainable land based areas. So unfortunately, I think I would say for that period, because this is now reporting in the previous financial year, which was then probably the last year of that previous MTF, because these projects are approved over a number of years, and the funding then goes through over that period of time. So this is more the expenditure, more than the budget.
Let's just check for me what it is the decrease and what is the increase, just so that we know the detail, okay? You can tell us later if someone has checked for us.
The next slide is our transfers to organization. Basically, the transfers we're just seeing, you know, like a decrease in the transfer that we did to police. The other transfers are the ones that we do basically, and there hasn't been any increase. And as I said previously, we transferred less to Luisa Ibeka because of the work that we're doing, and we paid back the 11.5 million to National Treasury. The other transfers are also the ones that we do every year. There's only one increase this year. It was the Global Environmental Fund, where we put an additional 10 million for our membership fees. Payment for capital assets, the only big payment that we're doing in the current year was the replacement of the polar vessel, and the 80 million that we paid back to National Treasury, as well as the saving that we did from the expanded public goods, also paid back to National Treasury.
Is that 5 million there, is that from public goods?
Yes.
And just tell me what that is.
Well, the 5 million is of public goods, which was the air quality monitoring station.
The delays in procurement because we're getting the air quality monitoring station from an international supplier, not a local supplier. So the processes are quite tedious, both in terms of procurement and also the delivery, because you pay once you receive the stuff. So that was the rollover, but Treasury has now approved that we then pay it in this current financial year, so it's not lost.
Our donor funded project still the same. We're coming mostly to the end of our donor funded process, and we're in the process of preparing a loans out report. Previously we had about 43 million, the current year only 26 million. And we don't have, you know, like a projection of how much donor funds will be receiving in the following year. So in the close out report, the DG would like to see which funds we can request, you know, like to fund other ongoing projects in the department. Basically, the challenges that we were experiencing in the department, if we can look at Sandy, is you know, like the entities with the deficits. Sandy is having a deficit, and Isimanga also, as the chair was saying, not, you know, like receiving most, you know, like of
allocation.
What's Sandy's deficit? Annually, Sandy is having a deficit of about 12 to 15 million, but in total, right, it is Sandy's not properly funded when it comes to their operation. Most of the financial assistance that they get from the department, if we analyze their financial statements, it goes to compensation of employees, because Sandy is very labor intensive in their botanical garden.
They also overpaid, and they take on projects they shouldn't take on projects.
Yes.
They do work that they shouldn't be doing. It's not their work. That's why they go to deficit. I've got no sympathy with that organization, particularly after the stunt of that chairperson of them last time in this committee, and went out here and created problems. That, I hope this next year they come here, they don't have a deficit, because if they have a deficit, I'm going to climb all over them. They were doing, remember last time, they were given projects to do that got nothing to do with their workload. It's got nothing to do with Sandy's mandate. Then they start getting into other projects, then she wants to justify why she's doing these other projects and why she needs money for it. I wish I wanted details on that. Someone must give me the details on that. I think I want to put it in this report. These are organizations that do mandates that are beyond their work that they should be doing. What is it that they were given to do? A whole set of new stuff to do which didn't fit into their mandate. Can someone remember? Climate, but there was something else. It was maybe climate change, but there was something else. Well, for biodiversity. But the point is, there was stuff there that definitely were not part of their mandate. They were getting involved in... They were asked to do projects... You know, I mean, it's terrible beating 53, you know, everything just disappears out of the way. Hey, I tell you, I can't even remember. In the morning I get up, I have to remind myself who I'm looking at in the mirror. Look, I need, there's a whole lot of stuff I need, more than just a mega, I tell you. Everything's come grinding to a halt, starting with a memory. I wanted to remind me, someone must remember, people were in this meeting from the department. What were the problems that we were raising? There were areas that they were getting involved in that we did not think that it's their mandate. That chairperson was very bullish about this stuff. She can do what she wants to. I'm going to remember what it is. I mean, this is going to remember. So Sandy's deficit is one of your problems, okay? And then the second one you said something about?
You know, like the... It's a manual, so, you know, like, you know, looking at... It's a manual, so didn't have so much of a shortfall. But we are also looking at the allocation that we give to the manual. South African Weather Services as well. And also St. Parks we are looking at, because of exactly what you are saying, reviewing their infrastructure and the budget cuts that were implemented by National Treasury. Furthermore, we've got an ongoing shortfall in the accommodation.
The smart accommodation you've got.
Thank you.
Okay, so your deficits are really with the agencies. Okay. All right. The only problem we really have there is the Sunday one. Okay. All right, next one. There are your challenges. Now, can you tell me your MTEF? Can you tell me what are the new areas of extra money you need? For example, you in the input you said working for project, you were asking for more money. Put it up there. Can you put it up? This is important that we know this.
Part of some of our enforcement
functions in underlying.
So over and above whatever capacity you've got now, this is 56 and 23, you're asking for extra capacity.
Yes.
So it's 70, almost 80 million. Okay.
Not guaranteed. No, these are the proposals.
This is the additional that we must, I think, whether we must support or not support. Okay, and then Sandy, what is this? This doesn't look nice. I don't like this fourth one. What
Sandy,
is this?
Sandy is for the baseline adjustment to have them in business again, or to be within their...
You better come in here because it looks very bad for you. I'm not telling you.
Can I say, leave the body that you dealt with in the committee. Sandy.
Not the body, the individual.
Yes. Sandy, chair and honorable members, is an institution that arose out of the amendment of legislation, of putting in place new legislation, which is the Biodiversity Act. They used to be a botanical institute. So from a botanical institute where they were just only dealing with science on plants, now they must look at the broader aspects of biodiversity, even some of the other species that we talk about in the programs in the department. The state of biodiversity reporting and all of that, that was never capitalized. There was a business case that was done after the Act, which then over time was supposed to be funded by Treasury, and we never really got money for it. So, which is why they are in trouble. The reason why they probably, I'm now talking for them, but this is my assessment or what we've seen in the report, why they've ended up finding a way to survive. They get projects and use that money to then fund themselves, but they've reached a point where they can no longer do that creative accounting. That's why they are in trouble. And so, in essence, we need to sort out their baseline. And Treasury has understood the business case. They looked robustly on what was in the business case and how we arrived at that 27 million and 30 million over time. So 30, 28, and 27, hopefully they will be able to fund, to give us that baseline adjustment so that they stop taking projects that are not core in terms of their business.
And you're saying that this money they're asking for is, in your view, core things that haven't been capitalized?
Actually,
and you're 100% sure of that?
Sure of that. The CFO, the whole finance team here, has been working and looking at exactly that. We have taken...
They can just be on Sandy's side.
Not quite. Yeah, but the real science, I mean, there is work that is very important work that Sandy is doing for the members.
All right, so I want members to, we're going to put this slide up later because this is a very important slide for us to discuss and whether we support or not. Okay, so we'll come back to that. All right, so that's excellent. So that those four items, the EIA.
Just go back first.
Okay. The EIA, and then there's the IT that backs it. So that is 56, yeah, print it please, and 23,497, and then there's the 2 billion for the waste disposal.
You never get it, right?
That's waste, and then Sandy.
Trying your luck, huh? Trying your luck.
27. Okay. Waste, we've got a problem. Next one, what did you say? There's more. Let me see what's the more.
The next one is the job creation, and that's our EPWP programs. The first one is social responsibility program that requested 255,328,382. Then our new.
What's social responsibility?
That's our the ones that were saying sustainable land based, where you were having.
It's also similar to this working force stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's 1 billion.
Yeah.
Yes. Per annum.
No, that's fine. Billion. The president must make his job creation targets. So I think this one will probably be smiled on more favorably.
No, not
Chair, can I continue with the next
one?
Yes,
and then infrastructure.
Infrastructure development. There we've got the first two has to do with our new PPP, the building that's being built for the new for our department. The $30 million for the next financial year. The second one is for IT, all the IT infrastructure that needs to be installed in the new building. And then there's a shortfall in the payment per year of $60 million.
Shortfall of what?
Of the installment or what's the payment that you have to pay each unitary payment.
For your present accommodation?
No, the new building.
The new,
the new building.
Yes.
So both those first two stuff are the new building?
Yes.
So this is all luxury stuff, okay.
Not share. That building, at least you were there. I'm happy that you went there. Unfortunately, I was not there. That's shocking, a building for a Department of Environmental Affairs. It's a sick building. It's not as bad as what... Oh, no.
Poor water, poor water.
We think that water is better.
Yeah, I tell you. That water building is...
Already this is a project that we've been working on to make sure that we are not in trouble with leases. We just want to make sure that we build the building, and the PPP process now is almost at the end of the procurement, where we will then get to award. And next year, then the actual construction would have started.
Okay, what is the sandbox? What is that for?
Sandbox infrastructure, they are requesting for years additional funds to upgrade and to put back the money that was actually cut by Treasury. So we each year have a...
But is that sandbox? Is not Isis Mangalisa?
No.
So we have already on the current baseline, there has been an increase. I just don't have the budget, the E&E now. Last year we managed to get some increase for Ismangaliso. But I think at the same time, the way we were working with Ismangaliso on the PPP was that we would fund the initial work through the Expanded Public Works program. And then thereafter, when they have got investors and what have you, then we then put forward a business case for further funding, whether it's unitary payments, then that would arise as a result. But they still have to go through that full procurement process. That is the reason.
Let's go come back to this, because I think that we're making a mistake by concentrating only on the PPPs for coming investors and so on. What we really need to do is we must sit down and say, what do we see as infrastructure? Because the problem with the PPPs, that's all going to be for rich people. Yeah, but the projects that you, when people come and invest in a park like that, it's usually for luxury stuff. It's for rich people. And what we need to look at is what do we provide infrastructure-wise for ordinary South Africans. Because we're not opposed for the luxury stuff. That helps you build up your capital and so on. It gets another kind of thing. But the big thing that we have to worry about as government is how much infrastructure do we provide in Isismangaliso for the ordinary South African to be able to meet people like Horsi and me. Horsi not, because he's got all these plantations over there. Okay. But someone like me, you know, I mean, really down to earth, small salary, hard working, salt of the earth. What do we provide for someone like me? Well, look, I mean, I'm never opposed to an increase. Only problem is we don't get bonuses, number one. We don't get a 13th check. We don't get housing subsidies. And all the money we get are called allowances, which is totally tax deductible if you don't use it. So then they give you a car allowance. I only drive to work and to parliament, so I can't ask for a car allowance. So the tax man takes all of it. So even the bit I've got, the tax man takes. It's not like civil servants. Big bucks, a lot of tax exemptions, and 13th check bonuses, plus. The nice thing about civil servants, they so much just sign off on themselves for those bonuses. Very nice, lovely. I mean, we as MPs, I wish we could sign off on it. Okay, so Itis Mangaliso is a big, big loophole, yeah? Okay, weather services, more equipment, that's fine. Next one.
Okay, we go on to the compliance and monitoring and enforcing. This is all to do with the Oceans and Coasts branch. It's compliance monitoring, forecasting systems, and innovation of the laboratories. That's totally outdated.
Can I just explain the share and honorable members? The laboratories currently are not meeting even the OHS Act, the Occupational Health and Safety. We have radioactive staff that's just handled incorrectly and so on. So we do need to have the laboratories upgraded. Monday can talk to the observation systems that we need to invest in. But on compliance and enforcement on the coastline, I think we would want more a system that would help us to enforce the implementation of the Integrated Coastal Management Act in the main, and we don't have that capacity and capability.
Now this is good, Will.
The last one, the climate change and sustainable development bit. We requested for climate change, as it's a small branch, and they request more funding. The green economy programs, and for Sandy, for the foundations of South Africa's green economy.
See, this is where these people, I tell you. You know what that woman does? She sits and looks through the newspapers. She says, now are people doing something that we can also get involved
in? And use the money to pay salaries.
Yeah. And then we labor intensive. So we have to create salaries for labor intensive people. And we also, professionals. What is this? Foundations of what? What are foundations?
I think the green economy aspect where we can send you the concept to look at.
Okay, well, we won't support that.
I think
good, look, you see what I don't understand. You see what I don't understand, you see what I don't understand. Look at 2 and look at 3. Look at 2 and 3.
Mm.
2 is green economy programs.
Mm.
And we ask for 450. Then we add Sunbeam. Must now come and be a separate item also for green economy. What is that?
Because they have put their proposal, Chair. What we do with the entities, when they have submitted their proposal, we then allow it to go through. Because in any event, even if we set green economy programs, because it's a transfer payment, we're still going to have to show it differently. Because it's going to our entities.
Well, you won't get our support for that one.
So that's,
number 3 is
maybe it will not win with Treasury either.
We will tell Treasury they shouldn't give it.
Okay. But I think, Chair, what is important for us is to be able to access the 6 billion funds for green economy programs, which is already provided for from the program.
What is this green economy program? We're fully supportive of it, but what is it, so that we can know if we're supporting something as...
I think there was a presentation here, Chair and honourable members, that was outlining the various categories of focal areas for green economy innovation. And because we're saying in this sector there is possibilities for... let me just remind you, there is one on conservation, nature-based area of investment. There is the areas where we're talking about energy generation, but we want SMEs that would then probably say in parks, even in provincial parks, they should come in and set up businesses in order to be able to provide whatever the equipment that would be required in terms of innovation. But there is a number of categories. There's water, conservation, there's an element of not quite transport. I think transport was more the last one. So we have about 7 to 12 windows, which I'm now recording from my head, but we can make that presentation again
to you, and we can give you the details.
Now, in principle, look, in principle, one will always support that, except that this idea that green economy is something separate from the economy is something I think is wrong. But you know, in principle, but I think that, you see, the problem I have, and why I would want to first have an input on this, it's exactly the same as the Sunday thing. These institutions, and probably what happened with that 450 million as well, one thinks about, you just do these add-ons for green economy. And unless we know what those projects are, it's difficult to support it, okay? I definitely know I won't support the Sunday one myself. But the other ones I'm prepared to look at, because clearly if it's fitting into the environmental side of what we're doing in the economy, that's fine. If it is actually doing the economic projects which trade and industry should be doing, then I have a bit more of a problem with it, okay? So that's my problem with it at the moment. It's one of those that straddles cross-cutting, and I would first want us to have a look at what they are before we know whether we can support or not. The others have been much easier because they have a particular item, but this is, of course, a much broader category. So we'll have to come back to this, okay? But yes,
can I just, I've got the presentation that we had to Treasury with all the information in, so I will make it available
okay.
to you.
So when we ask you questions just now, then you can show us that, those slides, okay? We're going to come back to these slides because we're going to have to look at each one and see if the members have got comments, so we'll come back to them. We come to this one, you can show us what those are, okay? All right, go ahead. Is that the last one? Okay. All right. Obviously, I'm actually surprised you're only asking 16 million to jack up your climate change unit.
I think, Chair, what we did not want to do is to be, we know that there's more work that must be done there, but we're still at the foundation stage. And therefore, when we will have a clearer project plan next year that we would use to ask for more resourcing for that area. We did not just want to be seen, because we're busy this year trying to get money just to be able to showcase at the COP17 and all of that. So
but you see, what I would have liked to see funded here is a whole database for climate change.
That's what you have there on climate change. In terms
16
of
million.
Information management, yes, that's where we started.
It's going to cost that.
We don't know. That's why when you put forward a proposal that is big, you have to really substantiate. Unfortunately, we have not yet done the research on that, and we did not want to.
Well, that should be a huge priority.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Create a database. Yeah. If you want to leave a legacy mm-hmm. as a DG in your department, if you leave, you started a database around climate change. Of all the data for all the kind of things that impact on climate change, it would be the greatest legacy for this country ever. Because that is something lasting that will just absolutely help us deal with those issues. It will help us to be able to make policy, it will help us to make the right decisions, it will help us to know really what's happening in our country. And for us, really, as we emphasized during the Green Paper, a database around climate change information is absolutely.
We have already invested in what we call SACIS, the Air Quality Information System, because our greenhouse gas inventory has been updated through that process. So that already, Chair, we are already investing in. And this would then beef up that, and I guess we can do more again, I think, when we have more information on what else we need to be investing in.
Okay. Is that the input? Is that the whole input? Okay. Now, let's, you know, this last slide's about money that also, let's leave that for the end. All the other rest of the input, any questions about the issues of the rollovers, the issues of your working for projects, some money less and more, your sand park thing, your bonuses issues, and then, of course, the deficits. There was the reprioritization, the money from rollover. Some of it has been reprioritized, I think about 70 million into other things. Any questions that people have on any of those issues? And then we'll come back to these slides at the end. Ms. Ndude, Mr. Morgan, Mr. Dr. Hong.
Thank you.
Chair. Mine is just some clarity. Thank you for the report, CFO. Mine is just a clarity, Chair, on the details on the current expenditure on the advertising environment awareness campaign. Your 16 million there. You know, if one can just be able to, you know, because then there is about six million on communication. What is the difference between advertising, awareness, and communication? Why couldn't you have put those maybe together? and also there, who is benefiting more? I would want to understand, because one of the critical issues that we always raise as a committee is the ordinary communities. And one is always very concerned about, are these things that we are talking about always reaching them? So if you can just be able to give me some elaboration a little bit on that. On the issue of, if I can get the breakdown on your operating leases, because there you've put together, I can't understand how does that happen, where you put together accommodation and photocopies. How can you put, lump them together on the same? It really doesn't make a good picture for me, because accommodation and photocopy, how can they go together in terms of to say this is expenditure for accommodation and photocopy? Because I think those are two different things. If you can give a bit, you know, breakdown on that. Then you have got other, you know, operating expenses of about 34.8. You know, what will be other that has not been specified, while others you've given us, you know, breakdown, this is what it, maybe if you can be able to tell, just to say what is falling other on other. And the last one for me is on the foreign aid assistance. I see that for 2010-2011, you have actually received less on almost all these tables that we have put here. My issue there is, are there any reasons maybe in terms of the drop on assistance that you've been receiving? Because I can see that you 2009-2010, you received quite substantial amounts. And then 2010-2011, they're sort of, dropped. If maybe we can be, you know, afraid of what that inner reasons, you know, to that. Thank you, Chair.
I've gone through this document quickly, just to remind members, some of it you must read yourself. The last one will take an input is the Auditor General. We'll take an input on that. But then there's a whole document here like this that's on consultancy. You may want to have a look at that, because it's an enormous amount of consultancy that we do. Then there's a document that gives you travel and subsistence. Well, I don't, unless it's graceful, but that's not so important. And then you'll see there's a report on the financial statements. And then there's that's the input we just looked at. So just to make you just have a look, you know, because we just look at the financial side of stuff, okay? Are you going to still give an input on the first part?
You know, the disadvantage, Chair, is always the fact that you receive the document in the meeting. So not all of us are fast with us.
No, that's why, and that's why I'm just drawing your attention to this.
Okay.
But you're going to give an input on this first part, DG? We just done the financial stuff first.
Yes.
So this first stuff here, you'll also give an input.
Yes, on the performance, because what did we, whether we match the outputs that the manual was allocated for.
It's my mistake. So that's not this. This is just a financial input.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can just look at.
Okay. And just remember, the documents were sent on time. I don't know what happened. Oh, okay.
I think we received them when? Friday? Chileka? Thursday? Friday? Friday. Yeah, we received Friday. Okay. So. Yeah, no, but we asked them to give it to us. And actually, the main reason we wanted them is to for Chileka to go through the report to make sure it complies with the guideline. So if it didn't comply with the guideline, we would have been told, DG, that. We didn't intend to get it yet to, we really wanted to just check it. In fact, the problem is the water one, we still haven't received, as we sit here now. So, okay. So we haven't been able to check whether it complies with the guidelines. Mr. Morgan? Sorry. So we just financial stuff now, we still take the rest of the input.
Thank you very much. Firstly, to the DG and her team, congratulations on your unqualified audit report. Although it's a norm in this department, so it's expected. But nevertheless, congratulations. I would want to know, I see there were in this last financial year still some adjustments or transfers to tourism and fisheries. Have we now got to the stage when there won't be any more of those, considering that tourism and fisheries are different departments? I realize it took a little bit of time, and perhaps there was some incorrect budgeting, not knowing exactly what should have gone there in the first instance, but if you could just give us that reassurance and perhaps make some comments on that. I also want to know about, just with regards to, it's not so much, it's more a process issue, with regards to transfer to non-profit institutions. If you could make a few comments, please, on Buyisa eBay for the last financial year. As you know, your department has briefed this committee on Buyisa eBag, and they were given less than they were appropriated. I think you just need to, I mean, I'm very happy about that, so don't get me wrong, it's a variance I like. But tell me, I would like to obviously know why that is the case, specifically, presumably it's got to do with governance issues there. And perhaps you want to make a comment about Buyisa eBag in a more general sense. Then, I just want to know, I mean, you've got these, I understand Buyisa eBag, where does Indaloyetu fit into this? Which program are they under? I thought they might be similar to Buyisa eBag in this regard. And the last point on this is, I mean, how do you decide? I understand Buyisa eBag and Indaloyetu, they institutions which have strong links to your department, arm's length away. But how do you decide which of these other organizations actually you give money to? Because I would imagine a lot of organizations approach you. And I mean, these aren't all government-related organizations. For example, WESA, which I fully support. You're giving them money as an NGO, actually. So how do you make those choices on who gets and who doesn't? Is it because they are actually fulfilling some transferred government responsibilities in the sense that you've actually outsourced some things to them? Are you just supporting them, keeping their doors open, or are they actually performing related activities that you require as the department to be performed? Chairperson, I think my substantial comments really will come under the next system where we kind of look at what the department wants. This is a generally very well-run department, and I don't have any particular queries.
Dr. Juan?
Thank you, Chairperson. I also highlight this second time for if we deal with this annual report. Now, same time, just the 1 hour, half an hour, when they're reading all this annual report, then the final problem is very difficult. I don't know why the department always give us short time. And also, this printer is very, very small. Then all give the young man can read him for this book. So So I think all the almost all the men here, they think it's easy. We don't touch too much questions. But anyway, I just I also like the chairperson, and I don't like the next time is the annual report for the month before 1 week we get this report. My question is for the DG this presentation is page 21. Your page 21, you have the social benefit 1.69 million, but you from the your original annual report is page one. Which page is your social benefit is no highlight, no indicated in this table. But in this this book inside you got the social benefit. But for your presentation inside you haven't got the social benefit 1.69 million. I don't know why. And I think it's a page also coming to the
page.
Page 112. Your annual report, page 112. Was for statement of the extra assistance received. Chairperson, I think this one is
question.
Dr. Huang, you
no, this
the mic in Parliament is destroying
no, this
ranking.
This mic is not working. Maybe you don't like me. Me find that is a problem. I think it's a annual report, page 112. From this opening balance. Opening balance, I think, it means 2009-2010, because you have the expenditure for 2010 and 11, and your closing balance is for the end of March. So now, from your presentation, looking to the end of March 2011, this annual report, I saw that is a question is we say from the bottom line starts. It's from the Norway. Norway, your opening balance is 2851. Then your revenue is 6558, and expenditure is 9394. It's like your presentation. So your balance is cross balance is 15. But I look in for your presentation for 2009-2010. For this Norway is 16196. Is balance. So I don't know how you can come back to the 2851 from the 16196 come to the 2851. This I need that is a breakdown because this one you show to the 2009-10 you give it, you only say it's the opening balance. You didn't say it's a 2009-2010, but from your presentation you highlight this 2009-2010. And also from this World Bank. World Bank, you make this open balance, it's minus 688, but from your presentation, it's not minus, it's 626. So you come to your cross balance is minus deficit is 1204. So I don't know this how you can compile for this, and also come to UNEP, United Nations. United Nations, you come into the 1, 2, 3, 4. If from number one, we start at number one, yeah, you say it's a minus 100. Your opening balance. But from your detail is only 17, 1, 7, yeah. So your cross balance is minus 48. This also, I don't see it's also right. Then second one, you come to the minus 546, but your balance from your presentation is 701. Then you come to your revenue, is deduct your expenditure. You come to, I don't know how can come to the 137 for your cross balance. Yeah. So I say,
no. Why are you jumping in?
Don't worry, I still question. It's not finished. Because you can answer the question, no problem. But
I don't want to reject the, your annual report, send it back, print a new one. Because you give me the short time for reading this big book. I say this one is it's very unfair for the committee member. So I just
say, you can complain about today's input, but you can't complain about the annual report. That's been in Parliament now for
the 30th of August.
Been in Parliament since the 30th of August. You've had long enough time. So I think let's keep that comment.
No, I only complain today. I don't even complain.
No, today, you see, today is a summary of all the annual report stuff.
Yes, okay. So I think
we can't complain.
GFO like to answer my question. Oh, let's
answer. No, DG. DG. You sound like a DG, Charlie. Charlie, the one thing we can't complain of, this report has been in Parliament since the end of August. That's the date it has to be in Parliament. So what we can't say is that they haven't given this to us to read. They gave it to Parliament, and Parliament's processes somehow make sure that you get it or not. So what you can, if you want to complain, is this one, which is basically a summary of some of the stuff in here. So if you've read this, you'll have it there as well. This, in fact, we got on Friday, to, as I told you, to check whether it's covered the guidelines. I didn't worry to do this, to send this out, because if there were changes we wanted the department to make, they would have had to make it here and then we would have sent it out. But then I was hoping that you would know that this is the thing you should check.
I know, yeah, but at least one...
And this has been here since August.
Yes, but today this one is a new one.
No, that's just a summary, Charlie.
Yes, summary. Yes, yeah. So
you can complain about that one if you want to, because that's
I don't want to complain.
That's our own process. I'm just saying, don't fight with the department about they didn't give us the information. I'm like, pen. Charlie, you've lost my pen. I can complain with you now, Charlie, but you have my pen. Whoa, yoyoy. Okay. Dr. Juan. Any more complaints?
No, please.
Just send it to the management. Okay, there's Dr. Fong's questions. Any other questions on the financial stuff? One thing I wanted to say, how much do we spend on consultancies? All these consultants we have at the back here. I'm not at the moment saying whether it's good or bad. I'm just asking, how much money do we spend on consultancies? Could you just add that to the questions?
Yes, sir. You are a consultant.
Yes, sir.
You must also just clarify as to whether any of these consultants were government officials before.
You know how it goes. You're a director, you get X amount. Then you become a consultant and you get X times 10. You know that one. So that's the question that Matev is asking. Alright, any other issues on the finances? Except we'll come back to the extra additional. Any others? The reprioritization we looked at, accommodation, deficits, working for. Okay, you remember you were still going to tell me that the 100 million goes to what? Just remember to answer that question. Then you're still going to tell us something on bonuses. Still waiting for that. So just add that to your list of questions. All right. Have you got all the questions? Answer. Auditor General? Auditor General, we'll take your input after this one, okay? Thank you. Ma'am, you were so keen to ask that one question. I'm so keen to hear what you want to say. Why didn't you answer? Let me just hear.
On the donor funding. The donor funding slide that we included was only the expenditure for those years that's in here. It doesn't put any opening balances or closing balances in place. It's only the expenditure for that year. If you look at that between the 2 years. That was the expenditure for Norway. For actual expenditure for 19 was 16 million, and the actual expenditure for 10-11 was 9 million. It doesn't put any opening balances or anything in place, only the expenditure for the year. And that's the case for all of those.
That's why you're so keen to answer that question, just to say that. Okay. DG, answer the question.
A question on the increase in advertising. Mainly that increase was just the money that was transferred to GCIS for the highlighting of COP17, you know, like marketing. So it comprises media, TV, radio.
Can I just ask that? Have you seen any advertising of COP17? Now that you've given 16 million, have you seen anything? But maybe I missed it, but what advertising is there?
Well, Chair, I think the question on whether we have not seen enough, and the minister was complaining, but we will have to look at GCIS on how their systems work. Because now in government there is a rule that if there is bulk buying that we must considered through GCIS when we are going to get infrastructure into big advertising.
But has there been advertising? I mean, I've
yes,
not seen anything yet done by GCIS.
There were radio.
I don't listen to radio, okay?
can you just comment on that one? Because I can't remember now. It was running from April. Yeah.
Where? In the TV?
On TV. Chair, we had a situation where there was a whole bunch of, first of all, there was a whole bunch of community radio stuff that went, which of course is a lot cheaper.
Mm.
So we could do very, very full coverage. And Chair, perhaps, you know, you need to listen to some community radio. But in this,
I accept as my mistake that I don't listen to radio. Okay. Now, what else is there that has prickled my attention? Because I tell you, it's been zero so far.
Chair, there's been a lot of media advertising, so in the newspapers and what have you. There's been a lot of that. Unfortunately, for
is there anything on DSTV? It's all I watch. Nothing.
In terms of public TV, Chair, the TV that the majority of people have access to.
Okay.
There has been a series of adverts. Unfortunately, TV advertising is exceptionally expensive.
I know that.
So, if you're lucky, we as a department, what we try to do is whenever there's something on, is we tell people that it's on, and even then, it's not as if we have mass coverage.
Okay.
However, I think, you know, with the increased interest around it, there's a lot of free stuff happening now, and there's more and more coverage, and certainly the recent stuff from the coastal area as well is also really quite impressive. So I think it's starting to build up, but it really is very, very difficult on TV, because unless you have got a huge Coca-Cola budget, they can actually do this mass advertising.
And I agree, no, the radio is more important. I mean, if you only get to people, radio is more important. Newspapers are just the chattering classes. So they're useless in any case. I don't want to waste time on this. TV is like, you know, the only important thing on TV is DSTV. So if you're not advertising there, I won't see it, you know.
Okay.
That is a good thing. You know, I find the best things are these people. I don't watch the soapies, but I watch my own soapies otherwise. But those things are very good for teaching people. I mean, someone showed me the other day was on wildlife stuff. Very fascinating, because I think people listen more to that in a soapy form. You know, they get it easier. So you're quite right. I mean, they should do a whole Ishi Dingo with on climate change.
Okay.
Create a tsunami, and then say this is the right. Wipe out the eastern seaboard of South Africa, and then say this is what will happen. All right. No. I just wanted to know that you're at least watching your budget being spent by GCIS, and clearly you are. Okay, next one.
And just Chair, I think Honorable Ndude was wanting to know why the separate light items. That's more an accounting presentation, and it's not the splitting is because we were transferring money to the GCIS, so it had to be shown in a separate line.
Okay. Ndude also wanted to know about why mixture of accommodation, photocopy and leases. If we look at those two lines, the 33.6 million is referring to the, you know, like the inventory, the fuel, those SAR dollar things, Marion Island trips, you know, all those inventories. On accommodation and operation is the 78 million. So there we're talking about our operating leases, the money that we pay for accommodation. You know those three graphs that I showed?
And but she's asking why isn't it funny to put photocopying with accommodation? That's what she's really asking.
Oh, because we're also leasing them.
Leasing the photocopy.
Yeah,
oh, so all the leasing stuff
all
are together. Oh, that's your answer. Everything you lease, you put in together and you lease in the photo. Well, that's the answer. That's a simple question.
On donor funds, I think Veronica did answer, but also the 26 million and 40, it's just because some of the projects are marginal. So this also known as it's a drop. So the money that we had last year was 46, 40 whatever million.
The donors are also MTF.
Yes. So they go on a decrease.
Also MTF.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, let me just deal with the transfers to DAF and Torhum. I think now it's really done. Not unless something new comes up.
So
we
all those kind of legal things and the finances that go with it is all sort of...
Yeah.
I mean, I saw a few others here also, where fisheries and tourism,
yes,
where you were moving,
yes,
money.
Yes.
You don't get money anymore now because it's...
Mm.
But now
we're going to only have a variation in the new, in this financial year for next year, when we receive then the adjustment from water, for the working for water program. So
it's
that's
all coming to you.
Yes. At least now we're going to have an increase, not a drop, hopefully, with all the associated troubles. And then we, in respect to, will you say back, you wanted to talk now on that, or should I?
Just a part of it, teaching. The transfer, the short transfer to Bumisa was also based on the business plan that we received from them. So we only transferred them what was related to the business plan, mainly also for their salaries. With regards to their performance, like the financial statements, we have received a draft of their financial statements. They are not yet audited, and they are going to be audited by KPMG. We don't have...
But also in that meeting that we had with you, we agreed that you'll come and brief us what you intend to do as the in its place. Are we ready with that input, or are we not ready? Have you not finalized your thinking in the department?
Are we still in process with that?
So you want this year get a budget for BISA?
We have it on the baseline, and we will present to Parliament. I think we can early next year come to you, because we have already appointed the legal firm, and they are looking at both the business case but we first deal with the administrative issues of cleaning up, whilst then we are answering the strategic issues on how we are going to cooperate or run the function into the future.
Have they even agreed to dissolve?
No, they have now. The board currently, maybe the latest, we are the board, the department is the board. From at a meeting that was discussing the process forward, the COO and a few other members of the department have then effectively taken over on that day, and they have to sign the paperwork. So the department is now the current board.
And then the money you had extra, you've given back to Treasury, but you've kept it on your baseline.
Mm-hmm.
And we then need a briefing in the new year,
yes,
for you to tell us what you're going to do in the place of BISA. Okay. So let's make a point that on the beginning of the new year. Okay.
And then I think, Honourable Member, you were also asking about Indaloyetu. Where you see WEFA now, that represents Indaloyetu in terms of the expenditure. What happened is that, again, Indaloyetu is an NGO kind of formation.
Yeah.
And basically, we then have a number of other NGOs that are part of the board. And WEFA then was the holding company for the Indaloyetu awareness campaign. And in general, most of the institutions that are NGO institutions
that do work on behalf of the department. It's more our service delivery model. They do functions, they're fulfilling a particular function for us, and therefore that's how we then commit to them. Then I'll turn over again to the CFO to answer Mr. Juan. Honorable Juan, you've been answered on the opening balances question, closing balances. We were looking at, you were taking comparatives because expenditure of 2009-2010 in comparison with 2010-11 versus opening and closing balances is not exactly the same. So what you are referring us to on page 112 in respect to what we have on the presentation is not necessarily, those things are not quite comparable because those are not equivalent amounts, basically, because they are not opening balances in the presentation. They are just expenditure comparatives.
I think Ms. Lutito also asked about, you know, like the other operational expenditure of 34 million. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've answered that.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, we didn't give details to the smaller items, but we have explained the 20 million there to say mainly it comprises of, you know, like our air charter services for the branch oceans and coast media.
Chair, just on the bonuses, Chair, I think I would request that we present to you again separately. I just have the page that I was giving you, something that I had taken out. We have used the guidelines and the committee. Unfortunately, the system that we have is the system that we use to consider then whether we pay people bonuses or not, and that arises from the whole performance management system in the department. On a quarterly basis, people submit their reports, and the supervisors do the analysis, and there are then committees that do the adjudication and consider then whether those that assessment in that branch, and the report is then per branch, and I can give members the report that reflects how then what the outcome is looking like before we actually finalize.
You got it on computer?
Unfortunately, no. I just, because I didn't prepare that.
Okay, just tell us, is there anyone in the department who's not getting a bonus? Let's start
yes.
there.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Really? Someone's not getting?
There are some people that are not.
How many? Two?
There are quite
three.
A number. I can, it's not just small positions. The adjudication committees are working, they are based on levels.
Mm-hmm.
I adjudicate with the DDGs, all the SMFs. But then the lower levels, the committees that are made up of directors, deputy directors, assistant directors, with appropriate representation from each of the branches. And therefore, the fairness of the system, definitely I can guarantee you that. It is fair and it is transparent within the organization. And there are people that, well, those people that do not get the bonus, they know that they do not deserve to get it, and there are reasons.
But how many of them are there? I mean, how many staff have you got? How many thousand?
How many? One, it's about 1,000. On the structure. Because we are talking about...
Let's give a figure, ma'am.
1,024.
Now, the question is simple. How many of the 1,024 are not getting bonus?
I don't have the number now, Chair.
200 then?
200
then? For last year, 216 of the
1,024. Oh, it's the old one. Chair, you're talking about this item.
Well,
I'm giving the information about
this. No, this year. We were hoping that you're going to come and brief us before you start putting bonuses through.
Having,
that we can comment on this year before it's approved. That's what we were hoping for. But that's been ignored. Deliberately. Now, I'm trying to work out, I'm trying to make a compromise here now. If I can try and find out what the information is, we can see if there's something we can say about it. I mean, you know in principle I'm totally opposed to this thing. But I do realize I'm a realist, that while these things exist, there's no one of you that are not going to try and get bonus, so you're going to get it.
Okay, can I?
But the least we can do as a committee is we can express our view on it, whether we think that you deserve it or not. But you've not now equipped us at all. You've not been able to let us make an informed decision on this issue, and not an emotional one like I'm giving.
That I have here, Chair, is that 526, which amounts to 36%, are people getting pay progression, not bonus. And then merit award, which is the bonus category B, is 449, and 222, 12% gets the bonus. And then 18% did not get.
Oh, that doesn't sound too bad.
So can I just show you that this pie diagram? That's what I heard.
That sounds a little bit better. 12% of you have done extraordinary work. I just hope that the 12% is not the DG, the DDG, the DDG, the DDG, the DDG, and then the chief director, chief director, chief director. And everyone below gets nothing. Let's see the pie. It'll start to help us. It'll soothe our nerves when we see the pie. I can see people when they heard 12% already, they were happy.
I think you need to ask everyone to put up their hands if they're not getting a bonus.
Now I can already see it. It's all the sad faces. All the sad faces are getting the bonus. They're getting the bonus because they don't like us questioning it. All the happy faces are the ones that are saying, good, you asked, you're checking now who's getting the bonus. So all the smiling faces, you know, they're the ones that didn't get the bonus.
Yeah, can I say, me, I only get it if the public is what you call the Public Service Commission with a number of ministers and stakeholders decide I must get. So I have no bonus as yet.
It sounds so good.
It's too good to be true.
It's not too good to be true. Did you see this picture? Where is it? Okay. No, but you know, department with a clean audit already, you kind of feel a bit more comfortable. When a department hasn't even got a clean audit and they're giving themselves bonuses. Hippie picture. Hippie movies. I'm very surprised that no one in this committee has made any comment about Bryce Lawrence today. That cheat.
Oh,
he's a cheat.
He's not drinking any more game.
He's a disgusting human being.
He
is like, you see, there's a lot of things about New Zealanders you have to be careful of. There was a guy called Dempsey. He was 80 years old. Who got a mandate from his union to vote for South Africa. And that New Zealander voted the other way. Then there was a New Zealander called Bryce Lawrence. Now, I'm not saying anything about the race of New Zealanders. I'm not saying much about them. Except that every time there's something wrong with South Africa, it's a New Zealander. Which just sounds a bit odd. It sounds a bit odd. God, you riff badly. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. You can't believe that man has got, they call him competent. Okay. 10% got merit and pay progression, and 12% got. What's the difference between B and A?
A is the best top performance.
They get merit and pay progression, and B also get merit and pay progression, but less. So you got top merits, lesser merits, and lesser merits, and then nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing is 18%.
Is
12,
31,
30.
It's a notch.
It's a notch.
So if I'm like 200 over in package, now next year I'll just get, if I perform, then I'll get 201.
Plus the inflation.
Yeah.
It's inflation at that level. It just says you go to another notch. But civil servants, of course, that have been long there, they're all at the top notch already. So you then give a ceiling. And then they try to help them by giving them pay merit progress. Then they give them bonuses.
And
see, that's how they do it. Good work. Yeah. That's one of the ways of doing it. All right. So any questions about this, ladies and gentlemen? It just gives us a picture at least, but. Go back. Let me just see. Go back. There's a question. Okay. Ma? You? Oh, you're fine. Oh, okay. All right. The next one. Show
yes.
The next slide. Where are they? Mrs. Kosana?
Can I ask a question, Chair, on the 18%?
Yeah.
To those who did not. But what's happening? There is incompetency because of the shortage of a skill or the reluctance. What can we get? Can we get an information for this and what? What are the plans for the department maybe to see if there is anything that can be done to be competent?
Who's answering that? They have to take corrective action to help them get up to the standard. Because, I mean, it's a good question because of if you think about it, in a system which is loaded towards employees, because that system is loaded, it doesn't matter how transparent it is, it's employees looking at their own comrades and friends. So it's a loaded system. In a loaded system, if they think that 18% of their staff are not doing a good job, so much so that they can just even get a notch increase. On the one hand, it's good and transparent, but on the other hand, it's worrying, because it means that 80% of your staff, it's almost one-fifth of your staff, are not doing their job to a satisfactory level. It's a worrying factor. So if there isn't corrective action and if there isn't something done better, then clearly it's worrying. So, on the one hand, it's good and it's transparent and it's, so on. But on the other hand, it does create a worry that one-fifth of your staff do not perform at a very basic level. Yes, ma'am?
There might be also a bit of a misunderstanding. If you just do your job and do what is expected from you, you get nothing. I mean, you have done do your job. So it. You get the pay progression.
No, because some people at least get a pay progression. But the problem is 20% don't even get the pay progression. So they're so weak they're not really doing their job even. But that's acceptable. You do your job, you're performing okay, then you get a pay progression at least. Then you go to a higher notch. Because, there has to be something for your effort. But if you don't even get that, and 20% of your staff are in that category, I think what we need, DG's not here, but I think we need to get a breakdown of this. mean, for example, what staff are in the don't qualify category? Are there, for example, any directors? Are there any? I mean, it's very worrying. There's a director falling in that category and not doing their work. It creates a bottleneck. So, oh, there you are. What is that? Merit awards. Yeah, but that still doesn't deal with the 18%. That deals with 5% of the SMS get, 6% of your MMS get, and then the bulk are your grade 4 to 10. Oh, that I really like. If there is a system like this, then at least if it's going to your lower staff doing a good job, your 10 to grade 4 to 10 are your lower levels of staff. No, that looks much better. No. This department is at least, it's much more balanced, it's much better. Usually you find that all the DGDs and then the blue is usually the DGDs.
The
blue usually. In this department at least the lowest staff are the blue. So it's at least sharp. I mean, we can be happier. I can sleep much easier tonight. Yes, sir.
On the 18%, we must keep in mind that when you don't have served in a relevant post for a period, continuous period of 1 year,
you can't get judged. Okay.
So all your new entrants is
also
in that
category.
In that category.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's a good point. Okay. But I think what you guys can do is give us a bit of a breakdown, a proper report, that we've got a proper report on this. But I must say, for my own, and members can comment, for my own thing, I feel much more comfortable if I look at the breakdown.
Yeah.
Because at least if it's your lower grades that are properly assessed, properly given things, that there is a one fit that at least do not get it, and that your SMS and your MMSs, it's a small percentage of them that are doing exceptional work. Does merit awards include pay progression? Merit is just the A and the B. So the pay progression, so your SMS and your MMSs may get pay progressions, but not necessarily the merit, because there's only a small percentage of them there. And most of them hopefully do it. Now that's why I think we need a proper report, that we can see your SMS and your MMSs, what do they get? 5-6% get merit, but then tell us how many of them get pay progression. We get a bigger picture. Okay, so you'll do that report for us. And will this now be this year? Because now I'm just thinking you've ignored us for a year now. Now, I mean, when can I expect that this thing will be done? In this lifetime of mine. I mean, while I'm still the chair here, I'm still here hopefully if I don't get redeployed for 2 years. Huh? Will it happen in this period? So you will definitely give it to me before the end of November.
Last comment.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but I should think even those in the senior positions who did not perform as expected, and I should think it's a problem. When they come up with an intervention program to give them skills to perform as expected and failing, they must know that the policy of incompetence at the end of the day will be applied, because they will let the department down so that it cannot perform. Because if you are a leader, you must lead the people to perform correctly. But if you are failing to lead, then the whole system will fall. Thank you.
Now, I think you've made very good comments, but that is why I'm saying they must now give us a report so we can properly have a discussion. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, as I say, I think that if I look at the results of this, I think at least there's some balance in this department, okay? So firstly, I'm happy about that, in the sense that you can see it's the lowest staff getting that. But it's still good for us to have a proper report on this, that we can look and analyze it. Because the thing that Mr. Matebe is, Mr. Skosana is raising is very important. I mean, we should look at that 18%. Are these people in senior positions, some of them in the 18%? Are they not? Because if there are, you know, it's the Murphy's Law, what you've just described, Mrs. Kosana, is called the Peter Principle.
Yeah.
Is that every human being has a certain level of competency by which they cannot go beyond. Okay? And that's what I think, you know, we need to know. I mean, are there some directors, some chief directors that have leave, that are reaching the Peter principle, that they, for example, not at least even making a pay progression? And at least we know those things. We must be open about it. Because the system, that's what the system creates, and then we must know it. So this time I hope we're not ignored. I hope we get the report by the end of November so that we can properly see how we want to process it, okay? But I must say, I can at least sleep tonight. I'm not, my conscience will be all right tonight. But I at least feel that the DG hasn't got rich at my expense.
Can I also say, Chair, that senior managers, in terms of the system, when they do not perform, you must get them out of the system. So if you have an underperforming chief director or director or DDG, there is a process to follow to then get them out, because they are not, if there is a query on the level of competence. So you would find very few of them in that category, but I'm just stating that as a...
But at least we must know if that is so.
Yeah.
Okay? Because, I mean, the issue is if 5% SMS get merits and 6% MMS get merits, that's an exceptionally balanced system. But then, of course, some of them will at least get notch increases. And then we need to know, are there still some of them that of your SMS and your MMS that don't fall even in the notch increase? But we can say, but what are you doing about this? I mean, I'm not always just keen for to throw people away because you must try. But if we try to better someone and they're not getting better, then at some stage we reach Peter principle. And then Peter must become Sally. Go south. Okay, so that is bonuses. Then the 100 million decrease and increase, what are those items exactly? Andres Prat.
On that one, the reasons as earlier mentioned by the DG has been confirmed. These projects are not specifically budgeted for per those categories. The budget is actually on a higher level, and the projects, as the projects is approved and there is budget available, they enter into an agreement. Now that agreement is also coupled to periods that may be equal to the MTF or shorter period. It matters the project.
Yeah, so look here, Andres, you speak plain, my friend. Jy praat nou soos Bryce Lawrence. Larry Crook going left and right. Look, all these working projects, most of them are temporary jobs. So if you suddenly take 100 million rand less, then I sit up and say, but, you know, we were doing working for waste of 174 million this year. So have we got rid of 100 million worth of staff? But that's what is the effect of it. Then equally, people in parks, it's 10 million. Then suddenly it's 110 million. So suddenly you are 100 million more in people in parks. So in working for waste, you could handle 174 million. Now you're going to just have to handle 74. And the other one, you are only handling 10 million, now suddenly you have to handle 110. Now, there's something very drastic that is changing there. And, you know, we need to know what it is. I mean, and you're not explaining to me what it is. I want to know, for example, we've taken away all the waste projects of cleaning roads. We've just done away with it. Well, what is it that we're doing away with for 100 million rand?
Can I say, Chair and Honourable Members, projects have a start and an end. So you would have there, for instance, you would have probably started when you were having 170, you would have contracted for around 200 million or 230 million. over that period, because they are running over a 3-year or 2-year, it's a multi-year project. And therefore, in the year 2010-11, it means they are at the end of that cycle. Now you're going to then take up a new intake, which is what I would be explaining as Kipland Parks. In essence, it means they were just that, they just started now at the end of 2009, the financial year. They were at the end of the first that cycle, and now starting again to put up new business plans and making new commitments, and therefore the expenditure is then high on that basis in that financial year. On waste, it was then at the end of the cycle, and therefore we're paying up. So I would think 2011, 2010, you must watch then. It means waste probably then would be higher than that 74 million on expenditure.
But Didi, what it doesn't explain to me is if we, until this year, we needed 170 million to keep the projects going.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm stunned that suddenly we go down. I understand your explanation about cycles.
Mm.
But even cycles, you should have already then planned long ago to keep the cycle going. Clearly we haven't done it. So we've lost 100 million.
But you're moving from municipality to municipalities also. It's not the same municipalities that we are finding. There is an entry point and an exit point. So where you are exiting, or either in some of the areas you are not exiting but you are maintaining, depending on what activities are involved there. So I think we would have to give you a detailed presentation then, so that you say, for instance, for this financial year, I would say, because this is now the previous financial year, for this current financial year, we can then give you a plan of what we have, what is committed this year, what will the payments look like, so that you are able to then assessed and reconciled at the end of the financial year on that basis. Because what you don't have there is a sense of what the commitment was.
Yeah, no, I mean, you answering it, you obviously know, but I'm sitting here and I'm completely in the dark.
Yeah.
But okay, I understand what you're saying. Okay. Any other issues you want to raise out of this, anyone? Okay. Were there any others?
You had a question. There was a question from Hosi, Honorable Member Matepe, about the consultants and whether the public, previous staff members that benefit from the system.
And how much do we spend on consultants
yes.
a year?
Yeah, all of that. So, Mr. Sikwat, you're going to talk to that?
Thank you, Chair. And honourable members, per annum we have spent in the previous financial year 185 million on the expenditure on consultant. And the second question was that whether these are government officials? No, Chair. These are we have. If you look at the report, we have appointed a number of institutions and we have named them. You know. We do not actually think, we haven't actually checked, but from the 31st of May 2011, we are compelled by the instruction from National Treasury to actually vet also the institutions and the names of the shareholders, the directors and so on, so that we know who they are and whether are they also not in the employee of the government, because you might be dealing with even civil servant or business people that are also permanently working in different departments. So we use DTI, you know, to check, and also we use our human resource structures to check whether these people who are requesting for tenders or submitting tenders and quotations, are they not also employee of the department? Yeah.
Employer.
Yeah, or employers, yes. Thank you, Chair.
And you said that it's 185
million. 185 million. The other thing that I must say,
what
Chair,
kind of services are these?
Thank you, Chair. These are mostly specialized services, and I can tell you, even next year, we will be sitting here before you explaining why we have actually you made use of consultants. There are certain services that we really will have to outsource. We don't have a choice. Chair, I'll give you an example.
No, I don't have a problem with that. That's correct. There will always be services, particularly with a high professional unit-like environment. But you see, what I don't accept is that all of these, if I look at some of these services, I wonder why we outsource them, and why we don't do them internally.
Some of them we are fighting very hard with the DG to say these services should be actually sourced out internally because there are people already in the department. If they are not sourced out internally, there's a plan, a skills transfer plan that we normally put up front to say this plan needs to be implemented. So any successful service provider will have to say this is how I'm going to transfer the skills to the department so that in the future, because if you look at those other
programs, if you look at, for example, Advocate Pierre Tiff, just to take one, transfer of legal skill, administration of appeals to newly appointed officials, and it's worth $367,000.
Yes.
Now I'm thinking to myself, why is this advocate so lucky that he gets a job like that? Why don't I rather do this?
But if you,
and then I don't have to come and sit here, and I don't have to get elected every year, and I can do easy jobs like this and get from this department $357,000, and then I'll vickle it with tax and so on, and I hardly pay any tax, and I get, and I can be lucky like Advocate Pierre Tiff. So, you know, I don't have a problem. I'm not one of those people that say that departments, particularly one like yours, doesn't use consultants. Yes, a high level of consultant, because there are some very technical stuff that has to be. I haven't got a problem. But when it comes to, like, legal appeals and stuff, and we're using people outside, and then I just think to myself, hey, this is a lazy department when they do this. This legal section of this department is just lazy. Who's in charge of legal?
Can I switch?
You! And you look like the granny here, and I thought this lady is not the same. I have a problem with this lady. Now I found out you give services like this to Mr. Pierretti.
No, but
oh!
Sir, I think
this is like Red Riding Hood.
Sure, like
the granny and the wolf. Don't even explain, because if we have to go through it, but well, you know what I'm trying to say is $185 million. Just by saying it.
Can I say, Chair, $60 million goes to Smith Amanda, and there is no nothing we can do about that. Smith Amanda on maintenance of vessels and.
Okay.
So we'll always have. So if you. You would have to order. In fact, I think we're spending more than $60 million. If you total, I would say $80 million must just be put on the side as going into the issue of vessels. And then we talk about the scientific business of the department. So, in percentage terms, to $2 billion that we have responsibility for, I think we're trying everything possible. That's why we're giving the explanation there and looking. In the submission process, I look at the reasons and I check also myself as an accounting officer whether we cannot find another way to provide the service. And honestly, we're trying our best to avoid it where it is possible to avoid.
Now, I'm going to take your word for it, but you see, yeah, Mokonyane Incorporated. That sounds like an excellent employee to me, but provision of legislative drafting services to that department. Why must we get legislative drafting services?
We the unit in the department for now. I only have Linda on 2 pieces.
But Ma, I've been here now for 3 years. You haven't brought a bill yet. So it's not as if they're working themselves to death. I mean, it's not as if they're working themselves to death, you know? You know what I'm saying? If this is the Department of Justice who've got one bill in Parliament every week, then I understand. But I've said here for 3 years, I haven't received a single bill from this department.
Now, department that hasn't been spending money probably for the past 3 or 4 years.
What?
But at least you know, the issue is, at least their decent department runs decently and they do their own drafting. Yeah, you're even letting people outside draft your legislation for you. Hey. No, man, really, man. Can I ask you to give me a report, you, DJ, and telling me what you're going to do in the next year? What steps you're putting in place in the next year in certain areas to avoid consultants? I'm saying certain areas because I don't want you to come and justify the, you know, the obvious ones. I mean, the vessel. If you need top services for things around climate change, if you need top scientific information from Mrs. Schreiner, who you guys sometimes for the kind of work, I'm not that kind of obvious stuff that you're getting expert, but things like drafting, appeals.
Can you help me with that? Because I just prefer that Linda just gives us an explanation so that he can compare.
No, just leave that. I don't even want to because. This advocate, here's another advocate, T. Patrick, independent consultant for administration of appeals and the transfer of skills to functioning of newly appointed. Same thing.
All appeals change.
28,000 Rand. Hey, I must go into this. Yay, I can make money here. Man, I can draft your bills for you because I've been doing that now for 17 years. I can do your appeals for you. Yeah. How much are you prepared to pay me as a consultant? Charlie,
so you can
I'll take you as a sidekick. No, let's not, look, if you go to the details of this, even if I just start reading, then I just start fuming. I think what you must do for RTG is say that in these areas this year, we're going to do this stuff to avoid using consultants. We are buying services outside, which clearly we should have in the department. And if you've not got them in the department, then instead of paying all that money to people outside, create the capacity in the department. Okay. So please, will you do that before the end of November? So that next year we come and start with a clean slate. And we've got it.
End of November. I'm at the
COP. No, you're at COP after November. This is going to be before you get to COP, okay? You got. Let me just see, you got 1,482 staff, you're one of them, so you got 1,481 staff members to do that for you. And there's Andres, he likes talking all about these things, let him write it for you. What are you going to do? So, okay, before the end of November, we'll get the report that we ignored on bonuses, and we'll get this on consultancy, and this report should actually be quite a short one. It should be about 2 pages. So we've identified these areas where we should not necessarily outsource it, and from now on this is the step we'll take to do it. Okay? That's it. Simple. Quite simple. Alright, there was consultants. We did working for. Okay, so let's now go to the additional funds. Let's go to the additional. Members comment on those if they want. There we are. All right, so was it that? I thought it started with EIA.
That's the summary, that's the breakdown. The heading is improving service delivery. Then we give you the breakdown. The first slide is the summary of what we've requested.
This is the summary. No, this is not.
That's
the summary. Okay. Okay. I think you must copy this first, print it this
month.
We've
got to print it for you, Chair.
All right. So there we are. We're asking basically 4 billion Rand extra. How big is our budget at the moment? 4 billion. So we're asking double what our budget is at the moment. All right.
The other 2 we transferred to public entities. So we are asking almost 100%.
Okay, we're asking for 100%. Well, that's a good way to ask for budgets. It's the only way you get it. down one. Let's see if people want to comment on that. All right. Anyone want to comment on, you know, number one and three basically go together. It's the improvement of the EIA capacity and the IT around it. Anyone want to say anything about that, Mr. Morgan?
Yes, Chairperson. I look, it's very hard for us to say whether that's the right amount of money. But
yeah,
I mean,
no,
so I don't want to be flippant about it. You know, maybe you should have more than that. Maybe you should have less. But I mean, all we can really talk about is the title. I mean, the sense of implementation of environmental impact assessments. Now, my feeling on this particular topic is you have acknowledged a need for the capacity to process EIAs. You yourself have said that these are unpredictable. You don't know what they are. I'm particularly concerned about the further increase in renewable energy project EIAs. I mean, I want them, I'm not concerned about them, but the reality is that we're finishing a round of bids now, and next March there's an entirely second round of bids. And I think it would be, I mean, my view on EIAs is that, you know, all good developments in the sense of good for our economy, good for job creation, need to be approved as quickly as possible. There should not be unnecessary delays. In terms of, I mean, the renewable energy sector is very important for a number of reasons. And I just got back from Germany last week, where I had the privilege of touring the Bosch factory in Erfurt and the Siemens factory in Berlin to go and see this. And let me just make the following point. The Bosch management were very much of the view that our problem was the regulatory side of renewable stuff, and that they didn't see a reliable long-term market in South Africa. Now, that's not your problem, is that this is done by another department. What I'm trying to say is we really shouldn't create any more barriers to the uptake of renewable energy in South Africa. Granted, if you don't agree with the project, you know, for good reasons, you shouldn't approve it. But we really shouldn't be slowing projects down unnecessarily. On a more broad point is that I know that you only deal with certain types of projects, those that cross national boundaries, like roads, national roads, and some energy projects, and I guess some projects inside national parks as well. But where our economy is at the moment, and operate in good faith, I think the rapid approval of projects that deserve to be approved must be done in order to get the economy going and to create jobs. I fully support any measures, and I trust that you have got the figures right there, to make sure that you guys can do your jobs quickly and efficiently, and in the best interests of our economy and the environment.
And therefore, if they are asking for extra capacity, because if they move from 200 to 400, and there's going to be, clearly we support those two, one and three. Okay, any problems? And in any case, in the new year, I wanted to do it this year, but we haven't had time. In the new year, we want to have public hearings for people to come and tell us where they think the blockages are with EIAs and what the problems are, so we can try and see. And actually, I'm not so worried. I'm doing it more for the departments to come and listen what people are saying about how they're doing their jobs, more than I'm worried about changing. If we have to change something, that's good. But it's more, again, like we did with this, with the climate change. By the department listening to things, it's easier for them then to start processing. Okay, so we will do that. But those two items, we could be sure. As Mr. Morgan says, we don't have a plan in front of us, so we can't really say the amount. But in principle, that we need more capacity around EIAs, we're happy to support. Now, the waste disposal one is more difficult. Firstly, because it's 2 billion. But I think in principle, I don't think anyone is going to disagree that we need to start centralizing. We've already said that in our water, that we must centralize infrastructure, even if it's cross-cutting, in terms of how we plan it, not in terms of how we implement it, they said. I mean, municipalities must still implement whatever they have to and so on. So, but the planning that you have to get approval, if you're getting approval for a MIG, then there's no use you getting approval in one level, in one department. It has to go right through from source to tap, there has to be approval for the infrastructure. So in principle, I think when it comes to waste, we're all in agreement that there's money needed. I mean, we were at this conference, and it's very clear that I was actually very touched by this conference, because these are people that are like really low down, working right there with things, and they're very knowledgeable. But you can see that the issue is, because it's so cross-cutting and fragmented, that there's no leadership necessarily to sit up and say, this is waste, and this is how we're going to deal with waste, and this is how we're going to monitor and make sure it happens, and therefore also it comes to infrastructure. I mean, some wonderful stories. The Hibiscus and one of the Eastern Cape small little municipalities, they came and gave inputs. They didn't even have a budget for waste. And these young women started getting involved in the municipality. They now get budgets. They busy doing, you know, this stuff where you put bottles and stuff in the bags. They did all this on their own. And, you know, so there's a hell of a momentum after the legislation. And we need to make sure, as a department, that even if it's cross-cutting, here's a place where you can create jobs and you can get people involved in things. And we should really be... So again, in principle, I think it would have been much cleverer, DG, in this instance, to go with smaller amounts to get Treasury to buy into the idea. Then this is just too easy to knock out. 2 billion, that's half your budget. So I would have thought that it would have been strategically for you clever to have done, to start creating that capacity as you've done with that other budget just now. So I think in principle we support it. Maybe it's just far too high to start with, but maybe we should look at it at a smaller.
Just clarify, we did the study to analyzing the backlogs in terms of waste services to households 4 years ago, and it was, we had a backlog of about 5 billion rand. So these are the chunks, 2 billion per annum, tackling a certain number of districts or municipalities. And if we are going to make a difference in terms of the implementation of the Waste Act, because we have a principle of cradle to grave that we have to reinforce in the country, and especially at local government level, and we have analyzed most all of the municipalities in the country, whether they have a budget line for this service, in most instances they don't. Those that have, even the waste site, is it permitted, is it not permitted? We then had to put in money to help them to permit, and we reached a point where we're saying, well, we have support to fast-track permitting, but then applications were not coming to the department. We then had to go and handhold those municipalities and appoint consultants to get them to get to a point of them getting their landfill site. Some of them have to be closed because of the water situation or the groundwater situation. So, in essence, even to just have one disposal site in a credible state, properly managed so that it does not impact negatively on water and just the land and environment, we have to not put less than about 7 million in that area, just one site. So I, without talking about collection, without talking about street cleaning, sweeping streets is not a nice to have, it should be basic, because we, otherwise you have all these problems of rodents and other things, and because there is just soot from your exhaust fumes that drive on the roads and so on. So we have to, this is, in fact, now with inflation, it should be even more than that 5 billion, because that was a study that we did a few years ago. So
I've got no.
So this is what we've given.
I've got no difficulties with all the things you say.
Okay.
I've got no difficulties with that. But you and I know that the art of politics is to be strategic. And if you go and hammer Treasury over the head with a 2.1 billion. I know that, but the point is, there's just no way. I mean, I think we should be more strategic. In principle, I don't think we disagree with anything.
But if they give economic spend for 10 million or 20 million, and they
play any... Well...
Point
no, you know,
I mean, those things are going to happen, but you and I know that in the present time it's not going to. All I'm telling you with this thing, in principle, again, I'm fully support, and I've said that we're going to make it an item on our agenda, sanitation. We're going to find a way to start making sure there's strong leadership, there's vision in this area. But what I'm trying to say to you, it would have been much easier for us to get, say, 500 million rand and start prioritizing what we want to do and take it from there than trying to jump with. So when we do this thing with Treasury, make sure we get something. Let's not try and try and, you know, hit the top. Because even if you look at it, I mean, if I listen to some of those municipalities, even some of those don't have the capacity to do these things. So you still have to build the capacity and so on. So we must start taking, you know, baby steps. Okay. So I think, again, in principle, no problem with that one. But the now, Sunbe, DG is given, you know, I trust the DG. I really trust the DG. I mean, and if she tells me that this is a baseline adjustment that's not, I think let's take it for now. Maybe I should be big enough to stare apart past the name Sunbe. Although, you know, you will find, of course, that Sunbe is the most often mentioned thing on all these adjustments, you see. And it already tells you something. You don't have to be a genius to know. But on this one here, if it's part of their core functions, then we're not going to say anything at this stage about it. We're going to accept it's part of their core functions. But I will want to still have a look at these so-called core functions. Because their core functions stretch to everything. All right, next one. Sorry, Mr. Morgan.
I think I have a similar view. I mean, I also trust the DG on this. I really would like the department chairperson to come give us a detailed presentation on Sunbe and what they're doing with it and where it is going. As I said, I don't doubt the DG, but I just think our oversight, the chairperson clearly has some problems with Sunbe. The Auditor General has said that he's got concerns about it being a going concern. I mean, that's exactly what he said. We really do have to look alike. So from a personal view, I mean, yeah, I'm kind of non-committal on this one.
You see, the point is, it's such an important institution. Biodiversity is so important in a country like South Africa that's one of the most biodiverse. It's not the issue. The issue is for them to stick to what they do and stop the other nonsense. That's the issue. It's not anything else. Biodiversity, by all means, I mean, I want a very good, strong fire. And if you as a department have decided that you, the way you're going to deal with biodiversity is not through your unit that's responsible for it. Which DDG is it? The other one. And you're not going to do it through them, but you're doing it through an agency. Okay, well, that's a policy decision that's been taken at some stage or the other. We have to live with it. But the point is, you see, then we must rein in people. And we must keep them very clearly to their mandate. Because this is my problem I have in this government, my own government, is that there are too many, and it's this thing that happens all over the world, by the way, there are too many governance functions that are taken away from government and given somewhere else. And whether it's done deliberately or not is not the issue. The fact of the matter is your lines of accountability and oversight change then. Once you start putting it in agencies and call them independent and God, la la la, da da da, then you start getting problems because these are functions that we, as politicians, should be able to go and account to people out there. And once you start giving these to agencies and agencies decide these policies that are taking place, then you look at the agency, it's a man in his jacket or a woman in her jacket that are running this thing and making policies on our behalf, or maybe two women or two men or three, doesn't matter, three or four of them, that then decides this whole area of policy making on behalf of the nation. Now that's my problem with these things that I have. And then at least if they operate properly, their finances are well, and they stick to their mandate, then I can at least live with it. But then if they start becoming empire builders and grab and pull and change and want budgets and want to increase, then I get really, really fed up and mad about it. That's my issue about this. The issue is not biodiversity. Biodiversity is vital.
And the institution we've decided through which to do it, that's also vital. But from then onwards, I think the department is too loose with Sunday. You're far too loose with them. You're not pulling them in, you're not letting them stick to their budget. As soon as Mrs. Abrams throws her dolls out of the cot, then all of you jump and you get baseline new additional funding for Sunday. I mean, you know, if you were fighting like this for Ismangaliso, I would be hugging you. Why do I look at this? Ismangaliso's budget going down. Yes, go back to the pink, purple. Go back to the purple. Hey, go back to purple. Give me Ismangaliso. I want to show you to this DG.
No,
I want to see this DG how she's denuding Ismangaliso. She's pulling it down. Give me the picture, please. Get it. I want to show you, DG.
But I think it's this committee that wanted to reduce Ismangaliso at some point.
Yes. Are you looking for trouble, DG? I think it's better to keep quiet on that issue. Show me the picture.
One.
Show me that picture, DG.
The committee before this one, if you remember Mr. Morgan.
He's member now like a 53-year-old, his memory. Give me this picture, I want to show this DG. What she's doing to my... Look at that DG. Tell me, which way is the purple going, up or down?
Look at it.
Where's the purple DG? Where is it going?
Where's the MTF?
Yeah, look at that green. Look at that green growing. Look at Sandy. Look at growing in there. DG, you must go. Listen to this committee, DG.
I come and present.
No. DG, listen to this committee.
Okay.
Go and sit down and properly review something. Go and sit down and properly review it. And take away all the functions that it shouldn't be performing. The problem is, if you want to give everything about plants and about animals to Sambi, then you can just as well give up the whole country. That's the fact of the matter. And then sit down and start promoting budgets for Ismangaliso, for sandparks, where we're creating conservation. That's what we must be doing. It's just nice to see that picture. Thank you. You can take it away now again. Let's go back to the additional funding. I'm happy that DG saw that.
Yes. And Ismangaliso, it has got 23 million for last year, 42 million and 44 in 2012.
My problem, Gigi, look there, Sambi, 150 million. You come and tell me they got 23 million. Aye, Gigi.
I'm talking about infrastructure.
Sambi doesn't need infrastructure. So they're not a very budget infrastructure. They budget staff. Yeah, exactly. 150 million worth of staff. Yeah, just the staff. Sambi is just... That's why I'm saying give them money, DG. Don't give it to others. I'm telling you, DG. Give them money.
Please.
The point is,
they asked for more that you...
They used to be told shot down.
No, but whenever I can move you, since the time I have been sitting here, it's been growing up. Every time they've asked, they are the people that have motivated every time to treasure. Every time Andrew will come and sit here,
they must ask for more.
Yes. Now they have what they were asking. They have received 37 million. They asked.
What they do is they try and cut. There's a saying in the Bible, apparently. I'm not very good with the Bible, but you cut your cloth according to your size. That's what Ismangaliso does. Now, Sandy has got grandeur of their size. They've got this big person there they think they can just cut the cloth to, you know? This is a big difference between the two. Okay, next slide. this is the kind of thing that I really, really think that at a basic level of cross-cutting on environment, on all these type of web cross-cuts and so on, and data creativity, I think this is vital, and we're going to try and see as, get as much as we can. Anyone want to comment further on this, Ms. Ndude?
But in that job creation, you know, Chair, it would be very important if we can have some, you know, figures and break down so that we can see who are we talking about exactly, not just the figures. Yeah.
So, I mean, in the end of the day, we'll have we need to do a breakdown about it, because you want to, sometimes in government, we come up with great schemes. Then when you look at the results in comparison with the cost, you think, is this really worth it? And, you know, and then also the other spin-offs we have. So I think we will do this, and we'll look at this in much more detail with job creation. Okay, next one. Yeah, no, I'm aware of this new building thing. The government are trying to create a under apartheid, and I think we should understand this, under apartheid, one of the things that the Boere found how to make money. Andries will know. Andries, yes, a good Boere. What the Boere did is, and some blacks have now learned it as well, as we look at Rusha Bangu's case. What you do is you put up buildings in Pretoria because you know government is there, and then you lease it to them at a hell of a cost. And we're paying huge amount. I mean, if you look at our budget for it. Whereas if government were to actually build the building themselves and maintain themselves, then you take all those leases out of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what, I mean, when I still was in doing another job, that it was decided to create a precinct, and in fact they've got a picture of where in Pretoria they're going to do it, to create a government precinct,
mm-hmm.
so that if you go to see government, it's easy to do it firstly, the transport can be easily arranged, and then the costs that we pay to build those buildings clearly already then financed, and thereafter it's maintenance and so on. So all those things are good ideas. I'm supportive of it, because I do think in the long run, to save South Africa money and not put it into the pockets of Rusha Bangu and a few other people in terms of leases, the way is to do it. Because, I mean, if you have to work out, just go back and say, take Justice's budget, they've got two buildings in Pretoria. If you take their leases, say, over a 20-year period, think how much money we would pay, billions and billions. If you paid a few hundred thousand for hundred millions for building your own building and then maintaining it, I mean, in terms of what the benefits for this country is, huge, huge involved. Okay, so I think, I mean, I don't know too much about that, but I think, I mean, you're involved with those processes, so there's not much for us to say. Mr. Morgan?
No, I'm fine with that. I'm interested in the same.
The next one, okay. So sandbox, I like this. What is this about? Mr. Morgan, you want to comment?
Yeah, I just want some clarity, and it's probably also another highly detailed presentation. Now, I'm all in favor of the money. It's a good thing. There are a lot of national parks. We always think about places like Kruger, but there are other parks like Kalahari and stuff like that, which desperately need infrastructure. So I accept it, but one of the things, DG, you really have to come and talk to us about is this nature of the fact that sandparks can come to you and ask for money, and that sometimes you say, well, we're going to give them all this. We're going to support you in a bid to get 800 million over three financial years. I mean, what I really need for someone to talk to us about is how they can do that, and the other side there is the push to commercialization. Because, you know, either you do commercialization or you don't, quite frankly. And this is good. But on the one hand, you know, Sandbox is now bringing in something ridiculous, like 80% of its revenue itself. I'm not sure. Dr. Mabunda told us in July. You know, and as I told him then, that's all good. I'm very proud of you. But I'm not sure I should have to be proud of you, because, conservation is a public good. So, I mean, I just think there's a sense of mixed signals here. You know, are these guys, do they have to commercialize and fund their own infrastructure, or in moments of crisis can they come to you and ask for more money? I guess your argument will be, well, Mr. Morgan, it's both. But I really, I need to, I'm 10 years since that commercialization strategy. You know, I'm broadly, you know, I'm broadly supportive of it. But I'm trying to work out in my own mind what the limits of this are and what the ratio is. That's all I'm getting to say.
No, I mean, the point is that it's like Sandy. When you start giving away too much, at some stage, government loses its ability to direct and to... That's the issue. So the more you commercialize, the more you make them self-reliant. On the one hand, that's good. But if you're doing it at the expense of not funding and not actually particularly funding infrastructure for ordinary South Africans, oh, then it becomes problematic. I mean, it really becomes problematic. So, and I think this question is an important one. I mean, on the one hand, tourism is vital. You need to, and I mean, the tourists you attract to the country don't want to go and stay in that little green hut in Kruger that we are prepared to stay in as ordinary South Africans. They want to stay in something else. That's fine. And we must provide for that, and we must make whatever money we can have, as long as it starts not affecting the aesthetics of what we're doing and undermining those principles, that's fine. But I do think, like Mr. Morgan is saying, there is a balance there. That where you start saying too much, you guys do this, you guys do this, you're actually giving away a whole area of influence and policy around sandparks and around Isis-Mangaliso. I mean, that's my problem with Isis-Mangaliso. I think it's a wonderful developmental model and so on, but I think we are so hands-off on it that I really get kind of just think to myself, but why do we do that? Why do we want some board on its own to run something when this is a national treasure? And we should be. So, you know, that's the balance we're talking about, okay? So, and again, also, you know, I mean, at some stage, as I agree also with Mr. Morgan on this, one will have to look at that infrastructure. Is it like high-end infrastructure we're building, or is it, you know, as you say, in Khalakhari and other places, we're putting in proper toilets and proper little bungalows, you know, that kind of stuff we're doing with infrastructure. So again, supportive, but we need to get more involved.
Can I just quickly, Chair and honourable members, say that the infrastructure that Sandpark has requested funding for is more staff accommodation. We have the details which I can provide in roads. For instance, in Ado Elephant Park, upgrades and tourism infrastructure in Nanseni, I don't know where that is, Skukuza, Marula, Mapungubwe World Heritage Site to construct staff accommodation, Mugala National Park, and Karu Garden Route and so on, and roads. So in the main, this submission is about that base infrastructure. And on the commercial infrastructure side, because again, this is the discussion that we were having with Treasury during the hearings. Treasury is firstly the revenue plans and commercialization plans do get consideration by Treasury because it's more a requirement from their side, not from our side. And they were telling us that, for instance, they don't see why we are not then going full steam on this commercialization because they don't understand, I think, the principles that we operate on the basis of in terms of conservation. And they were saying Sandparks is under recovering, they should be, their pricing strategy must be reviewed. For instance, in Kruger, comparing Kruger with the surrounding private lodges or game lodges, and in terms of what the tariffs are, when these for us as a public good facility, we talk about accessibility in terms of South African and also not necessarily over exploiting even other international. And over and above that, we are not selling the beauty of the buildings. There is something else that we are interested in preserving, which is why there is then a difference in the way they should be looking at the commercialization plans. So we were having this discussion basically because they have started reducing funding from Sandparks, for Sandparks, and it is going to compromise our ability to conserve in overall. So the balance, I think we fully agree with as a department, and these recent plans of Sandparks are part of what was approved by Cabinet at the point in terms of the commercialization strategy. And I think if there is a basis for us to review those plans, maybe that's what we should start looking at. In the main, we agree that there must be a balance between public good and the tourism becoming not the main issue of focus in protected areas. The main issue is conservation. And the ratios, I think, we can even arrive at that.
That would have even been better if we had the capacity in the department and we were able to assess this and actually say what we think should be done. And a lot of these things get done, Sandbox tells us, and we accept it. You know, we're gonna, but I mean, we should have had the if we had the capacity that we actually go into these parks and we ourselves say that, firstly, the accommodation is substandard, there's not enough for accommodation for ordinary people. That would have been the way, and then, you know, we would fight much harder than for Treasury for that. At the moment, it comes from another entity.
Not quite, Chair. We've done that, I think, I mean, Minister of Finance, previously Minister Manuel, then went to all most of the parks. We looked at the accommodation, and hence the infrastructure financing for Sandparks started at that point. And we're saying then over time, would move from Kruger to this other place, and not talking commercialization infrastructure per se. And unfortunately also in the budgeting formulas, I don't know whether the HE is aware of that, there is a percentage that is set aside for infrastructure. Infrastructure submissions are given about 9% of the overall budget. And our sector does not get anything unless, I mean, which is why Sandparks then capitalizes on that in terms of, because this is, if we don't bid on that infrastructure, we're getting nothing anyway as a sector.
I think what the message we're sending you is we want you to be stronger on this. We want you to be stronger in terms of your intervention, in terms of providing money for infrastructure for these. I'm not worried about the other stuff. The commercialization balances, we don't should be funding that. See that the right things are being done, the balance is right. But I think what we're asking you, and particularly Isismangaliso, I think it can become one of the greatest places ever to go in the world. And we should not let this happen, that it's our grandchildren, that only that this will happen. It should happen now, and we should consolidate it now. There's a moment where we've got these traditional leaders and everyone on board on this. That's the moment you must strike. Later on, this, you know how communities work. They start fragmenting. They start again, you know. I mean, that fence that was built now, then, so that you can keep the animals in. You know, I mean, if you don't finish that thing now, and someone else starts saying, no, I don't want that fence running here through traditional lands, for example, then you start having problems. So, and at the moment, if you look at the budget, I mean, Isismangaliso is exactly because of what the attitude has been, is saying, well, let's ask for this little bit of money. Whereas that stuff must be consolidated now. I mean, you know, they're doing the whole thing with the River Mouth, which is a natural thing they want to now to open and so on and so on. Those things, you know, are the things that we should be doing. I mean, you know, we should be supporting them. So, you know, those are my worries. All right, Mr. Morgan.
Thanks, Chair. I just want to add to that point, and I can join Sandparks and Isismangaliso. Now, this is the DG. I find it disturbing, and I'm sure the DG does as well, sort of Treasury's view on sort of how far you can push this this revenue generating. And Chair, one of the things I think we should put on our agenda as well is an engagement directly with Treasury. I don't think, you know, of course the DG must go and fight this battle, but I think we should talk to the Treasury about the concept of the public good that is conservation. And I'll tell you why, because I have a worry here. They aren't costing the public good in terms of what we're getting back from these parks. And I know that's a difficult thing for them to do, but there are two fundamental problems I have here, which if we get wrong, I think are going to affect conservation forever. The one is that, and forgive me, and this is my feeling, is that I don't get a sense that South Africans feel like they have collective ownership of our parks. And we have to make sure that they have that. I mean, hundreds of years of black South Africans not allowed to access parks. I mean, the concept of ownership is not there, and we have to make sure that it happens. And linked to that, of course, is we have to get as many people to visit these parks, and only visit them if they feel like they're owning them. And if we commercialize, they become elite institutions, they will be challenged by surrounding communities. And, you know, what no one likes to think about is parks are not there forever. They can be depromulgated at any time if you have the right, you know, if the politicians want to. I mean, it's not these people in this room. But they don't exist. I mean, sand parks can be, you know, unwound with, I think it's a big majority. I mean, I was one of the people that helped write it in. I think it's a 75% majority, which was abnormally high. But the point is that they don't exist forever. We want them to, and I think we need to improve public ownership of our parks. And you don't do it by driving commercialization to the nth degree. And the add to the point is, in the chair, I know the chairperson was impressed with it. The difference with Isi Mangalisa, and I don't see why sand parks shouldn't be the same, is that actually it's a development, it's a kind of hub of development.
Yeah, it's a development.
You know, actually what sand park Isi Mangalisa does actually helps, and I think what also must be said is that Isi Mangalisa also benefits from the broader RDP has lots of other people giving money. But it's a if Isi Mangalisa fails, and if poverty increases in that area, which it possibly could, if jobs aren't created, Isi Mangalisa won't exist. Because we know what happened at Induma, which is a stone's throw away. So the Treasury, I think, actually has to understand and value the public goods with regards to conservation. And I think that this committee must express their views. I think they're always going to talk economics with you, DG.
You've got our support, and to push it hard, push hard for these and make it part of your strongly of the agenda. Just remind me, how many new conservation areas are we trying to establish at the moment, and is the budget there already, or is it still one that needs to be got? How many areas are we pushing for? Where's the lady not here that gave us the input on mining?
I'm just trying to confirm. At the moment, we're trying to add 13,000 hectares for the current financial year. That's on the sand park.
But where? Just tell me, there were three or four places.
It's still the
one is Agalas, I think.
Agalas?
Is that the
that's a marine protected area. It's under existing.
Sorry. Can you remember any other areas? This lady that gave us an input told us there were four areas of which two or three of them are being blocked by mining.
I'll get the details quickly now.
Glider River is the one. That's right. And then I thought the other one was somewhere close here to Agalas. And we were wanting to add land and then the mining. West Coast?
Yeah.
What is it? The West Coast Park at Langebaan. What? How much are we trying to add there? And who's blocking that?
There was a swing and throwing between us and Public Works on the process of, I think they.